straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the Pentagon. Pakistani officials say they think Ayman al-Zawahiri, the number two man in the al-Qaeda terror organization, is now trapped near the Afghan border. NBC's Jim Maceda is in Islamabad and says there's a fierce battle raging.
There are several houses in a adobe mud compound, very common in that part of the world, that is firing like the Alamo out of this compound in the direction of these soldiers.
Pakistani forces recently stepped up raids aimed at capturing the group's top leaders. Another night of explosions in Baghdad. There were two blasts near some hotels. No reports of casualties. American investigators still trying to find out who planned yesterday's deadly Baghdad bombing. That blast killed 7 people. Exiled Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide says he's just a guest in Jamaica. He's not using it as a base from which to try to regain power. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
Another startling fact from Progressive. Only 1 out of 2 million Americans will ever wake up and say, wow, it would be really fun to call around for car insurance quotes today. So just in case you're that one person, call or go online and get our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big-name companies. You could save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Because frankly, the only thing people think about less than buying car insurance is how often they should clean their dryer's lint screen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tomorrow on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. The detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tomorrow at 10, 9 central on USA Network.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 65 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Eastbound I-70 at the Floyd Hill. Watch for an injury accident. Other injury acts up in the Niwot area, 79th and Highway 52. Some problems through the Central Valley. Southbound I-25 at Spear, an accident on the shoulder. But we have some glass on the road, southbound I-25 at 23rd. Those two things are causing delays all the way back to I-70. Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil is specially formulated to clean and protect engines driven over 75,000 miles. Add more life to your car with Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, a fire in Lakewood last night claimed the life of a 7-year-old boy. Firefighters pulled Tyler Rhodes out of the house, rushed him to the hospital where he died. The fire broke out in the basement of the home a little after 9 last night. The child's parents and younger brother were upstairs when the blaze began and were able to survive. Investigators still looking for the cause of that fire. This report being brought to you by TV Guide. It was a year ago that the big blizzard was hitting the metro area. Bob Koopmeiners, a forecaster with the National Weather Service, recalls the 3-day total as measured out near Stapleton.
They add those 3 snows up and you come out with 31.8 inches.
Some places in the metro area got off easy with only 2 feet. Others got 4. In the foothills and places like Evergreen, they got a half a foot. We'll top out in the mid to upper 60s today with no snow in sight. A Fort Carson soldier was accidentally killed in Iraq yesterday. First Lieutenant Michael Adams was traveling in a convoy to Kuwait when his tank was hit by a passing vehicle. This allegedly caused a weapon to hit Adams from behind. 24-year-old Adams was with the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. He's the 44th Fort Carson soldier to be killed in Iraq. Prosecutors in Grand Junction have blasted Michael Blagg for going on a spending spree less than 2 months after his wife and daughter went missing in 2001. Prosecutors contend the spree shows that Blagg was not a man grieving and searching for his family. Blagg's defense, though, argued that the spree was Blagg's attempt to make himself feel better. Blagg's defense attorneys noted that Blagg's father-in-law was with him when he made some of those purchases. The prosecution continuing its presentation today. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are in Ottawa to play the Senators tonight. This is the only regular season meeting for the two teams. The Avs have won 4 of their last 6 games. Denver Nuggets have the night off before heading into Detroit tomorrow. Nuggets dropped last night's game 104-100 to the Celtics in Boston. March Madness officially underway today with 4 NCAA games being played at the Pepsi Center. The Air Force Falcons are making their first big dance appearance since 1962 tonight at the Pepsi Center against 6th-seeded North Carolina. Guard A.J. Cool says he and his 11th-seeded teammates will not be intimidated when they go up against against an opponent with a storied past.
Throughout the year, we've measured ourselves against ourselves and not against the jersey on someone else's team. When we hit a court, we play against ourselves, and usually 22 times this year we've played well enough to win the game in the end. So I think that's all we play for.
North Carolina coach Roy Williams says the Tar Heels would like to push the tempo, but figures the game will likely be played at the slow pace that Air Force prefers. What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV tonight only on TV Guide Channel. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full-service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut in color, waxes, microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperature is going to stay way above average until the official start of spring, which is Saturday. We're going to see lots of sun today thanks to high pressure over our area, topping out at near 70. Tonight, nice and clear, down to 43. And for tomorrow, we'll see lots of sun, just a few clouds, and a high of 78 degrees. And for Saturday, keeping the sunshine around, high of 69. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 65 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Denver's own John Dunning. He has a brand new book out called The Bookman's Promise, and he'll be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. We are also going to be taking, there is word that Pakistani forces are engaged in some fierce fighting around the Afghanistan border. We think the preliminary reports is that the number two man to Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is perhaps being surrounded. So we will bring you that live if there are any developments. But with us now, the most important development of all, Penny Parker from the Rocky Mountain News is joining us. Penny, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you because you were so kind to me in your column today. There was a, we are engaged. We are definitely in a David and Goliath battle here against Clear Channel, which I like to refer to as the Walmart across the way.
Walmart, I like that.
And you want to tell people about this ad campaign that we've got going?
Well, you got it absolutely caught my attention, and I consider it a guerrilla ad campaign because, like you said, you guys are the David to the Clear Channel Goliath. It's going up in a bathroom stall or a bumper near you. Hundreds of these flush rush messages are appearing throughout Boulder and Denver counties. And I'm not crazy about the picture, as I said in my column. But
you know what? I love that picture. It's a guy who clearly who may or may not be constipated with sunglasses on, sitting on a
But the flush rush message certainly rings true, and then it obviously the ultimate message is to listen to Enid as the alternative to Rush.
Well, I think it's pretty creative to be going on John Doors everywhere.
Yes.
Is an amazing thing to me. I didn't actually know you could do that. So I guess we'll find out. We'll get some feedback from people. But I really want to thank you for the mention. It was kind of you to do it. And as a demonstration of how well-read you are, gosh, 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 on my part, about a million people called me before 7 o'clock this morning, waking up the radio goddess with this good news.
Not part of my plan, trust me.
Well, it's an indication, a barometer of how well you read. In your column today, you're talking about a couple of things. Before we get going on that, I had a call, and I think I've seen it in your column, and I wanted you to, maybe you could address it. I had a call from a listener talking about eating at a place in Cherry Creek called Mao,
yes.
And she had taken her date right after the Bette Midler concert and wound up seated at the bar because there were no other seats available, and to her mortification, and I hope she knew this guy well, they were running porn on the bar TV.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, it got even worse, she goes to the John, and it's a very hip John, so hip that the doors between the stalls are completely clear. So I don't know if it's plastic or glass. So you and snuff films for your delectation are also running. Is this true? You have no privacy in the John? Is that the deal?
No, you do. It's a what do you call it? You know, it's got a film on it. You can't see right in there. That's not true. I mean, it's clearer than you would like. For example, I went there one night and I opened the stall door and there was a couple in there.
Oh, really?
But I couldn't have pulled that from the outside.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's frosted glass. That's the word I was
Frosted glass for,
yeah,
for steamy goings on inside.
Yeah. I was like, oops, excuse me, am I in the right bathroom?
What do you think?
You're in the wrong bathroom.
Well, you know, in Europe, they don't have bathrooms. In some places, they don't have bathrooms that are just for girls or for boys. So you walk into the John and you're amazed because there's some guy who's walked right in behind you and it's allowed.
It's here now. Hush, the new nightclub that's under Ted's Montana Grill.
Uh-huh.
They have a co-ed bathroom. Now, the stall doors go floor to ceiling. So you don't know who's in there. And so, yeah, you could be walking in and hear somebody coming, walking out, and then there's a shared hand-washing area.
Well,
so they're trying it.
You should know if it's a unisex John, because women do lots of things in the John. They might be changing to go to some fancy place later, or they might be changing from fancy to go running later or something. And imagine your surprise when you're taking off your clothes to find out that this is not just for girls only.
Right, I know. Right, I don't know that it's working out all that well. I've had a couple of complaints about it, but it's novel. We'll see. Allie McBeal did it on TV. We'll see if it flies in Denver.
What about Mao? Are you getting complaints about the porn on the...
Well, what happened was they did start out with porn. They had gone, the owners, Jim Sullivan and Charlie Huang, who owns Little Ollie's and some other restaurants in Aspen, they went to South Beach to really do their homework before they opened Mao, and saw at a South Beach club that they were running soft porn, more Playboy Channel type stuff. But when they opened Mao, they couldn't get the rights to that fast enough, so they went and actually got videos. Well, they were way X-rated, and I got nothing but complaints. And I was there. I saw them, and I was in shock. So as a matter of fact, Jim Sullivan's wife hated it. So 2 days later or so, he pulled it. And then I went back a couple weeks later, and Charlie had put it back on the screen. Now it's pulled. Jim went and got all the tapes out of the restaurant.
So
it's gone.
So it's not hardcore, it's softcore.
It's nothing now.
No, nothing at all.
It's like Godzilla movies. They're doing Japanese movies, those kind of things.
Well, going from Godzilla sex to Godzilla movies in one leap. And you were talking about in your column today, and if you're just tuning in, my guest is Penny Parker. She writes for the Rocky Mountain News. In your column today, you're talking about the fact that Bistro Vendome in Larimer Square is now closed for lunch. That can't be good news for a restaurant when they have to close for lunch. What's the scoop there?
No, it can't be good news for a restaurant that's less than a year old in particular. I think because they're set off the street in Larimer Square, there wasn't a street presence for them. They're in a beautiful little courtyard, but you just don't think of it. It wasn't top of mind. It certainly probably lacked foot traffic of people just walking by. They're probably going to stop at Capitol Grill or somewhere that has a street presence, you know, so you see it. And they actually added brunch on Fridays, and they took dinner away on Monday. So it's a market adjustment, you know. Do you have customers? No. If you don't, you've got to take a look at the numbers and decide, gee, maybe we better, it's cheaper for us to close than to, you know, serve four dinners.
Well, you made an observation about the fact that there are leases when you're in Larimer Square where you are required, the lease requires you to be open for lunch, I'm assuming as a way to draw in traffic to that area.
Right.
So your assumption is that they were able to circumvent the provisions of the lease or that they were Larimer Square was trying to cut them some slack. I like that restaurant a lot. I have only eaten there once. And
right.
It was on a lovely summer's night. It was just the perfect place, and I thought the food was fine.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was
so
lovely.
Beautiful.
The food was good.
Yes, I like it a lot. And it's independently owned, which a lot of people like to support. So, yeah, Larimer Square, I'm sure, you know, doesn't want it to have an empty storefront. They want their tenants. They want to work with their tenants and to try to make sure that the tenants are making money. Therefore, Larimer Square makes money.
Well, and but Josephina's in Larimer Square. Your colleague at the Rocky Mountain News, John Lindorf, he gave it the lowest mark you can give any place, D-.
Well,
to call the food gelatinous would have been a compliment, apparently.
It's a very, very old restaurant that probably should just be a nightclub or a jazz club rather than trying to serve food. I have never eaten there, Enid, so I couldn't speak to the food.
Are you going to go now with a D-minus rating,
no,
Kenny?
No, never. There's good restaurants there.
All right, talk about them. You're talking about a whole new section of town, Purple Martini, that's opening up
a brand new location.
Yeah.
Next to Cool River off of Bellevue, in the Bellevue Promenade. Well, Cool River already does a real bang-up sort of single scene in their giant bar and pool room area, but they're also a steakhouse. Purple Martini guys just took a look at the population, the growth of the, you know, people that want to go out at night and don't want to come downtown, and they're taking advantage of it, and I hope it works for them. It's a beautiful shopping center, the Bellevue Promenade, and they actually open tonight at 9 o'clock to the public. So we've got a little trend of nightclubs moving south. The Avalon, which is this giant nightclub just south of Park Meadows, Yosemite and C-470, that's opened. And they actually bring book acts and, bring in a lot of different special themed nights. And they seem to be doing pretty well. Purple Martini is more of a lounge, an after-work kind of place, too. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's interesting that these Lodo people that are ensconced in Lodo are now looking around and saying, not everybody is downtown, and not everybody wants to come downtown.
You mentioned Racine's, which I had completely forgotten about. They've been off the map since the construction,
right,
and since they moved. And I think when you're off the map that long, are people going to come back to it? And where are they opening up? You said on Sherman?
650 Sherman.
Sherman.
They are opening now. The owner called me today saying that she's pretty sure they're opening May 3rd. So people have been anticipating Racine's return, and I think they're going to do a really good business.
Any gossip that we should know about before we say goodbye to each other?
Well,
anybody who's going to get married, anybody who's getting divorced, anybody who's cheating on a spouse, we have to know, Penny.
I know. I wish I could dish the dish, and I can't do that, Enid.
What about the governor, Penny? What's he up to?
What's up with that?
Yeah, what's up? Are you hearing the same rumors I'm hearing?
I'm hearing all the rumors, and I am almost pretty 100% convinced none of them are true. That's why I won't.
You don't think any of them are true?
No, I do not.
How come you think they didn't announce at the time of the separation that nobody else was involved? Because that's always everybody's first question when a couple breaks up, was anybody else involved?
Right.
Why do you think they didn't say anything?
I don't know. I think they just concentrated on what was wrong with the marriage and saying that, you know, we've grown apart. We just need to take some time out. Now, I thought that timeout was supposed to have passed by now.
Did they say how long the timeout was going to be?
I thought it was going to be at least a month, and they are not back together.
But I'm hearing all the rumors about a child born 2 weeks ago, the child's in Alaska, the child's
right
in Wyoming, the child's
well,
here, the child's there.
But don't you think if that's true that reporters would have ferreted that out by now? I mean, it's not like we're sitting there going, the governor's untouchable. No way. I mean, people check every single rumor out, and none of them have never been able to get anything.
But here's my question, Penny Parker of the Rocky Mountain News. He just had a press conference last week where he announced he was not going to run for Senate. Nobody laid a glove on him. Nobody said, to what extent does your marital situation factor into your decision? Nobody asked that question, as far as I'm aware. And they cut. They asked Channel 4. The story I got was that they were going to, that 4 was going to stream the press conference live.
Okay.
And we said we were going to take it live, and I announced it to everybody, and I announced we were going to take Forrest Stream on this. And then somebody, my understanding is that somebody from the governor's office called Forrest and asked him not to stream it live. I never heard of having a press conference that you don't want people to listen to. Why hold the press conference?
That's interesting, because I did not know about that.
And my understanding is from reporters who were there that the question was not asked. How is marital situation right now factored into his decision?
Huh. Well, I know in the story he said after consulting with Francis and his children that he put his family first and that they decided this would not be the best idea, although he said that they were supportive if he had made the decision to run. So they definitely addressed the family situation in the story. I wasn't at the press conference, so I didn't see it.
I think there was a poignant backstory. And to me, the poignant backstory, looking at it only from the surface, is his family obligations, which have somehow been recessive in all of his years as a professional politician, somehow now at this moment collide with his personal ambitions. And that really is, there's a kind of bittersweet quality there, because his family looks like it's in a certain amount of disarray.
Exactly. But don't forget, Governor Owens is pretty committed to trying to be a regular dad as much as he can. I mean, he certainly didn't have his family living in the mansion. They lived in their Aurora home. And, he was constantly attending games that his kids were participating in and taking him to McDonald's, his favorite restaurant.
Oh, well, fortunately, they're not going to supersize anymore.
Exactly.
Penny Parker, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
a pleasure. And thank you again for the wonderful mentions in your column.
You are so welcome.
Penny Parker of the Rocky Mountain News. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. And the news we're getting is that the Pakistanis have surrounded an area where there's somebody of high value. We think it's the number two guy to Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri. He is the Egyptian surgeon, and he is the brains, really, has always been called the brains behind al-Qaeda, and the early preliminary reports are he is the guy that they have surrounded, but we'll see. And if there's any breaking news, we will break in and bring it to you. We will be running MSNBC if there's anything to report here. So just want to put you on high alert. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, stop by McDonald Automotive Group today, located on Broadway just north of Arapahoe Road. McDonald Automotive, the region's largest selection of certified pre-owned imports.
So yesterday, I was looking at houses online, and all of a sudden, bam, a pop-up window selling pizza took over my computer screen. I can't deal with pepperoni at a time like this. Not when I'm trying to find a house.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage reduces your house hunting anxiety with online resources that offer detailed information at the local level. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
It's time to get your Goodyear. Get to your local Goodyear retailer now through April 10th for the Goodyear Spring Driving Days Tire Sale. You'll find sale prices on some of the most popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to $75 free gas. Mail-in offer ends April 10th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to $75 free gas, don't miss a beat. Get your Goodyears today.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
I work in an office, and I listen to my favorite radio station every day.
I find out everything I need to know about what's going on.
I turn on my radio, I get all the information I need.
Whether it's Iraq or the stock market.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
It's what we're here for. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
When I tune in,
I'm really pleased.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower at this hour. The market has been whipsawed on word from Pakistani officials that the number two man in Al-Qaeda may be surrounded near the Afghan-Pakistani border. The Dow initially rallied on the news, but it is now down 25 points, the NASDAQ down 18. The fate of former Tyco executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Schwartz now in the hands of the jury. After 6 months and nearly 50 witnesses, jurors will decide whether the pair looted the conglomerate of $600 million as charged. The number of new jobless claims fell last week to the lowest level in 3 years. That positive news on the employment front was dampened a bit, though, by another Labor Department report, this one showing that producer prices jumped in January. Are you online? A new survey shows that nearly 75% of Americans have Internet access at home. The Nielsen Net Rating Service says in just a few years, online access has gained considerably. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
For 3 years running, Medicine Shoppe pharmacies have been rated number one by the Wilson RX Pharmacy Satisfaction Report. We're first in friendliness of pharmacists, first in on-time filling of prescriptions, and first in overall pharmacy satisfaction. When you take an active role in the health of your customers, people tend to notice. Bring in your prescription and see why we're number one. And if you're a new customer, ask about a free cold and allergy kit. Kits available while supplies last at participating Medicine Shoppe pharmacies. Look for our ad and TV guide.
Spring is here again, and that means it's a great time to clean. Did you know that Walgreens carries a wide selection of cleaning supplies? Everything from buckets to disinfecting sprays and mops to air fresheners, all at prices you'll love. And with over 4,300 Walgreens stores, you'll find one right around the corner. In short, Walgreens has everything you need to make your house sparkle this spring. Except maybe the kitchen sink.
He won't read you word for word the Denver Post on his show every morning.
Who are you?
Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNRC. The Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1226 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. And just to give you an update, if you're just tuning in, there is Al-Qaeda's number two leader is reportedly surrounded. It's not Osama bin Laden. That's the latest. Originally, it was thought that it might be somebody like Osama bin Laden, but it's thought to be the number two guy. Ayman al-Zawahiri, who is the Egyptian surgeon, who's the brains of has been called the brains not only behind Al-Qaeda but also behind Osama bin Laden. Pakistani troops believe that they have surrounded Al-Qaeda number two Ayman al-Zawahiri, as I said, an MD, an Egyptian surgeon, in an operation near the Afghan border. Three senior Pakistani officials told this to the AP. They've also told it to CNN. The officials who spoke to AP on condition of anonymity said intelligence indicated that the Egyptian-born al-Zawahiri had been cornered in an operation that began on Tuesday in that area of Afghanistan involving hundreds of troops and paramilitary rangers. In an interview with CNN, Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf said that he had spoken with the commander of Pakistani troops in the region. He said the commander reported fierce resistance from a group of fighters entrenched in fort-like buildings and that there were indications that a senior figure was surrounded. He is reasonably sure there's a high-value target there. I'm going to tell you something. I could envision a scenario where Ayman al-Zawahiri is not going to be taken alive. I can just see where he would, if they tried to take him alive, could you envision a scenario where he would shoot himself and not be taken alive by the West, by the U.S. or by the West or by Pakistan, who, by the way, playing both sides of the street, walking both sides of the street. So that's the latest. Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden has not been surrounded by Pakistani troops in a remote region on the Pakistan-Afghan border, but his number two might be trapped. So we don't know if the number two is there. This is speculation. We think it's a high value, but it could also be a decoy. We really don't know. I expected them to do this closer to the election. Maybe they're going to dribble him in, the number two guy today, a number three guy, you know, a month or two from now, a number four guy down the line. And then the big ahuna, who's probably hooked up to his dialysis machine, and he's on ice right now, I don't know, 303-382-1150. The Jack of Spades on the card deck, is that it? 303-382-1150. Don in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
Hey. I was thinking about this,
this so-called story that you were just talking about. Now, I've been hearing rumors and reports and reading newspaper articles for, like, the last couple of months saying that the United States and Pakistan have been staging these, you know, massive surveillance around the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. And if you remember back when the Afghanistan war started, when they had Osama bin Laden surrounded in Tora Bora, they left a back door for him to get out and go to exactly where he's at right now. And I think that they know exactly where Osama bin Laden is at, and they're just waiting to spring him out at the right time for a political purpose. I mean, these people got satellites to look all over the world. I mean, remember Colin Powell at the UN showing the satellite pictures, so they know where these people
are.
Well,
I want to jump in here because I want to link this to a couple of things that have been going on. We know yesterday that a returning soldier from Iraq, a seasoned soldier, as a matter of fact, from Iraq, committed suicide after
he hit his wife.
Yeah, Green Beret, 9/11, and calls his wife, and then he shoots himself. He commits suicide. And we also know, I want to link these what we know together. We also know that a lot of reservists, the guard people, the term mass exodus is being used because they do not want to serve. And in today's New York Times, Tom Friedman has got a column where he's saying this is an entity, the regime, Rumsfeld. They wanted to do this thing on the cheap. They don't have enough troops.
Right.
One of the things they could have had Osama bin Laden, but they refused to make the troop commitment. And then, as bad as that was, they took what little we did have, and they brought him over to Iraq. And what they allowed Al Qaeda to do in the interim was to regroup and get stronger. And they allow the opium production is unbelievable.
Off the chart, and well, see, the whole thing is you got to get your bang for the buck. You got to stretch this war out and suck Iraq out as much oil as you can. Isn't it amazing? The United States.
No. I think what they're doing is they're sucking every last drop out of a troop strength that is way too low for what has to happen. They want to do this on the cheap, and no wonder these guys coming back, men and women coming back from Iraq, or even those who are already there, no wonder the AWOL rate is climbing, the suicide rate is climbing, and they're saying they are not going to re-up.
Doesn't it surprise you, though, that the United States have been getting free oil from Iraq for a year and the gas prices are this high? I mean, it's like the whole American economy is getting sucked out because of this war over there, and a few people are getting rich, and so they're going to stretch it out as far as they can get it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Don. I think that
even
a couple
if Harry
of the
wins, it's not going to change. He's not going to pull any troops out of Iraq. They have to be there. So
he can do a handoff. Not unless he can bring out our allies and they can do some kind of a handoff to the United Nations or some multinational body. I want to thank you for the call, Don. Here's what I think: the gas prices are becoming so astronomical, and if you think they're bad now, they're going to get worse. This is just the beginning, apparently. That's what's being reported. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse in those high driving months in summer when people like to take trips. If you live in California, there are some parts of California where the price per gallon of gas is approaching $3 a gallon. And here, it's getting closer to $2 a gallon. So I think that by itself would be enough to get people angry about the administration and what's coming out about the head actuary for Medicare and how he was muzzled and threatened with the loss of his job. More and more is coming out about that. The Wall Street Journal today had some of the emails that threatened him. The guy who he says threatened him denies that he threatened him, and yet it's right there in an email. So I think that story is going to go somewhere. I don't know if it's going to peak too soon before the election, but these two factors can't be helping this administration. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Never underestimate something as homely as the price of gas. There are local politicians who could tell you that they were voted out of office because there was a big snowstorm. And what happened? They couldn't get the snowplows out and people were, you know, marooned in their neighborhoods for long periods of time. Lots of elections have revolved on these tiny things. So don't underestimate the power of what a gallon of gas costs. It's another indication that this is an incompetent administration. They can't seem to get it right. You can't be running deficits. You're running these fake ads for, you know, where you have fake pharmacists and fake reporters touting the benefits of Medicare. Then it comes out that you, that not only have you got fake ads touting all this, but you have fake numbers that you have given to Congress telling them exactly what this is going to cost, knowing that it's a lie. You are lying to them, and conservative Republican Congress people are furious about this. 303-382-1150, and we don't have the money to pay for it. And if you think you're getting a tax break, you better think again, because the deficits are so horrendous that the services that you have come to expect your local governments to be able to pick up, they can't pick up anymore. So tuition's going to be higher, fees for going to national parks are going to be higher. Oh, and they're lying about that, too. They don't want to put out an announcement that they want certain national parks to be closed so many days a week because there isn't the money to keep them open. So they want to do a stealth thing where, you know, you would just not be open on Monday and Tuesday, let's say, okay? I mean, in every way, this is a lying administration. Keith in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. It's Keith.
Hi, Keith.
And I wanted to talk about what I read the other day in the paper, that Saudi Arabia is doing some new exploration, and a lot of companies, including Russia, were invited to bid or to explore. The United States was excluded. And I think that if you look at
In
Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia, we were excluded?
We were excluded from the opportunity, it was in the paper this week, of going to do the exploration. There will not be an American oil company doing the new exploration. I think they're getting ready for their future without us.
Well, we better get ready for a future without gas then. How are we going to do this? I know that a lot of our oil comes from
Saudi Arabia.
Well, it comes from Venezuela. I think about 30% comes from Saudi Arabia.
That's still more than a drop in the bucket. The other thing I wanted to mention was, in reading all of this stuff about Halliburton and food service and building bases, it seems to me that the U.S. Army or the U.S. Armed Forces used to feed their own people. They used to put guys on KP to peel potatoes. And now, for some reason, I don't know why, the military's been set up so that we can send in
private companies. I'll give you a little example of why that would be. Because Halliburton, Kellogg Brown Root, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton, one or both of them, did a study for the Defense Department pointing out how outsourcing and privatizing, and that these are just the obvious places. You've got weapons that don't work, and only outsourced private technicians can come in and fix them, and they didn't want to send any into a war zone. So can you believe that? So, and in any event, the report says that a lot of the stuff should be outsourced, that we can save money. You never save money when you outsource like that. And that's why some of the stuff is being outsourced. There might be other reasons, but that's part of it. And Halliburton is now under even greater investigation than it was before for overcharging for the food service prep.
Wasn't the current George Bush's grandfather one of the early employees of what became Halliburton?
Investors? That I do not know. He was, the grandfather was part of Brown Brothers Harriman, but who knows what other side businesses he was involved in. Keith, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 66 degrees. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Jiffy Lube, and we got a bit of a problem. It's going to be southbound I-25 right at 20th, an injury accident. Cleaning up an injury accident, eastbound I-78 at Floyd Hill. C-470 as well, westbound at University, an accident in the cleanup stages. Colorado driving conditions are torture on your car. Remember, it takes just minutes to save a car at Jiffy Lube, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube every 3,000 miles. Lube it or lose it. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
A 7-year-old boy died as a result of a fire in a Lakewood home last night. Tyler Rhodes was rushed to the hospital after firefighters pulled him from the burning home, but the boy died at the hospital. The boy's parents and younger brother survived that blaze. Investigators still looking for the cause. This report brought to you by Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Another Fort Carson soldier has died in Iraq. First Lieutenant Michael Adams was traveling in a convoy to Kuwait when his tank was hit by a passing vehicle. This apparently caused a weapon to hit Adams from behind. The 24 44-year-old becomes the 44th soldier from Fort Carson to die in Iraq. Following a two-day closure after an employee died, the Glendale Soundtrack has reopened. A 22-year-old warehouse employee was strangled on Monday when his shirt got caught in some conveyor belt gears. OSHA is checking to see if the safety stop switch on the conveyor belt might have malfunctioned. Havoline High Mileage Protection Motor Oil is specially formulated to clean and protect engines driven over 75,000 miles. Add more life to your car with Havoline High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1238.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
First, I worked as a lumberjack. I just couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. Now I'm working in a deli, and I just can't cut the mustard.
Are you in a dead-end job or looking for a new career? Hi, my name is Jan Dione, clinical nurse specialist and part owner of Medical Massage Therapy and Associates. In just 8 months, you can become a certified massage therapist at our Medical Massage Therapy School. This is a career that's in demand. A certified massage therapist can make up to $25,000 a year right after graduation. We guarantee individual attention with a 1-to-6 student-to-teacher ratio. The hands-on clinical experience we offer will prepare you for this exciting new career. Our next class begins April 5th, so call today at 303-316-8222. The space is limited, so don't wait. Call Medical Massage Therapy and Associates School of Massage at 303-316-8222 or go to our website at mmta.info.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperature is going to stay way above average until the official start of spring, which is Saturday. We're going to see lots of sun today thanks to high pressure over our area, topping out at near 70. Tonight, nice and clear, down to 43. And for tomorrow, we'll see lots of sun, just a few clouds, and a high of 78 degrees. And for Saturday, keeping the sunshine around, high of 69. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From the Pepsi Center side of the NCAA first and second round here in Denver, it is the UTEP Miners making a run on the University of Maryland, the 2002 national champ. Right now, Terps up by 272-70, and the Miners are making a good run. They were down by as much as double digits, trying to upset the four seed in the bracket. It is right now 72-70, Maryland on top. From the Pepsi Center, I'm Tony Bazzieri, KNRC Sports.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Before the evening TV newscast, before the morning paper hits your door, get all the news and information you need as it develops. And then talk about it here, AM 1150, KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150, KNRC.
1242 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. If you're just tuning in, you missed Penny Parker, but you can look at her column today in the Rocky Mountain News. She was very generous with me, talking about how here we are, David, up against the Clear Channel Goliath, which is, I like to refer to as a Walmart across the way. And we began an advertising campaign, Flesh Rush, and this is appearing in John's all over, in restaurants all over Denver. I actually haven't seen it, but it's so, if somebody sees one of these things, I want to hear from you. If these does anybody look at this stuff when you're using the John? Is my question here? I'm trying to be delicate about this thing, but you can tell me. Oh, and Virgin is like Virgin Atlantic. They're getting a lot of criticism because they have Johns in New York. They have urinals that are shaped like lips. Oh, well. Uh-huh. Mick Jagger's lips? Is that what it's supposed to be? Yes. Well, 303-382-1150. Looks like we think, or what's being preliminarily reported, is that a very high-level Al-Qaeda person is surrounded in that place in the Afghan-Pakistani border. It's fierce fighting. They think it's the number two guy, Ayman al-Zawahiri. We'll see if that's the case or not. Would he be taken alive? If you stay with us in the 2 o'clock hour, you can treat yourself to meeting John Dunning. He's local. He's written a new book called The Bookman's Promise. He will be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by film critics Tom DeLapa and Walter Cha talking about stuff at the Madstone Theater. They have all these very creative programs planned, so we'll be talking about that. Next week we've got all kinds of stuff planned, including David Bach. He's a huge hit with his book, The Automatic Millionaire. So maybe if we listen to him, we can all become automatic millionaires. Wouldn't that be nice? This just in from CBS. Do you remember our Attorney General, John? I don't have any gall left. I had an excess of gall, and so they took out my gallbladder, Ashcroft. Well, his fishing rod in hand, well, maybe that's not a fishing rod, but anyways, fishing rod in hand, Attorney General John Ashcroft left on a weekend trip to Missouri. This afternoon, aboard a chartered government jet, reports CBS News. In response to inquiries from CBS News over why Ashcroft was traveling exclusively by leased jet aircraft instead of commercial airlines, the Justice Department cited what it called, quote, a threat assessment by the FBI and said Ashcroft had been advised to travel only by private jet for the remainder of his term. He's so reviled. Or is this just another way of him being imperious, imperial, regal, you name it, where he can only fly on leased government jets? There was a threat assessment and there are guidelines, and he's acting under the guidelines. An FBI spokesman said neither the FBI nor the Justice Department, however, would identify what the threat was, when it was detected, or who made it, or even if anybody ever made it. A senior official at the CIA said he was unaware of specific threats against any cabinet member, and Ashcroft himself, in a speech in California, seemed unsure of the nature of the threat. I don't do threat assessments myself, and I rely on those whose responsibility it is in law enforcement community, particularly the FBI, and I try to stay within the guidelines that they have suggested I should stay within for those purposes. Asked if he knew anything about the threat or who might have made it, the Attorney General replied, frankly, I don't. That's the answer. Earlier this week, the Justice Department leased a NASA-owned G3 Gulfstream for a six-day trip to western states. Such aircraft cost the government more than $1,600 an hour to fly. When asked whether Ashcroft was paying for any portion of the trips devoted to personal business, fishing, for example, fishing for an answer, we are, a Justice Department spokeswoman declined to respond. All other Bush cabinet appointees, with the exception of Interior and Energy, will remote sites to oversee fly commercial airliners. Janet Reno, Ashcroft's predecessor as Attorney General, also routinely flew commercial. The Secretaries of State and Defense traditionally travel with extra security on military planes. The Justice Department insists that it was not Ashcroft who wanted to fly a leased aircraft. That idea, they said, came strictly from Ashcroft's FBI security detail. The FBI had no further comment. This is very interesting to me. First of all, if this is personal business, Ashcroft needs to reimburse the government for the $1,600 an hour that it's going to cost to fly him. This is a man so universally reviled that he's so reviled, he's got so much gall that they had to take out his gallbladder. He's got so much gall that he's got to now fly in a commercial lease jets because nobody can stand to be near him, and he's afraid for his life. He needs to pay for it if it's not for public business, for government business. He needs to pay for this out of his pocket. And this comes from the FBI. They're the ones who did some threat assessment. CIA doesn't seem to know anything about it. The FBI is under John Ashcroft. I believe that he is the umbrella overseer of the FBI. Now, I bring this up because in a related but unrelated story, Jeffrey Toobin in this week's New Yorker magazine does a really fascinating piece on Martha Stewart and all the yes people around her who failed her. And partly they failed her. They were big supporters of her. It wasn't that they were just trying to take her money and give her lousy advice. They failed her because They anticipated what they thought she wanted, and they wanted to be right there supporting what they thought she would want. And as a result, they gave her such uniformly bad advice that she was indicted, that, you know, she's gonna go to the pokey here. She was found guilty. Because people around her who, not the ones who just wanted the money and are in there for the power, but the people around her who were trying to support her. And here you have FBI people trying to curry favor with John Ashcroft, so they think he should be in a private jet so that he could go fishing. Do you feel that that's fair? Do you feel that that's right? And as a corollary to this, Antonin Scalia went on a hunting trip. I guess these people are all, they're always trying to kill something. They're hunting, they're fishing. You know, they're conking things over the head. I mean, who knows what they're doing? Antonin Scalia, who's got a case that involves Dick Cheney in terms of who made up the energy advisory. Notice how Dick Cheney is asking John Kerry, we want to know what foreign leaders you say don't want Bush in there. Name names. Well, Dick Cheney doesn't want to name names. Who comprised his energy advisory body, and it is a case that is now before the Supreme Court. Antonin Scalia will not recuse himself, even though the two of them have just gone hunting and they go fishing and they go, you know, things together. I don't know if they're going on private planes and who pays for it. So I want to know what your thoughts are. So should Scalia recuse himself, and should John Ashcroft going fishing on a private plane that costs roughly $1,600 an hour to charter, should he pay for that, or should we pay for that? Is anybody paying for you to go fishing in a private plane for $1,600 an hour? 303-382-1150. Is that right? Should he be setting an example? Should he fly commercial like his predecessor, Janet Reno, who was not nearly as hated as John Ashcroft is? Is that why they have to fly in private? And if it's for personal business like this, going fishing, why should we pay for it? You think we should pay for this? I'd like your views on this. 303-382-1150. I don't think we should pay for it. And I think Antonin Scalia ought to recuse himself on any matters to do with Dick Cheney, because they go fishing together, or they have gone hunting together several times. And I wonder who paid for those planes. Did we pay for those planes? Was it some corporate interest who provided the jet, so we'll pay for it in a different way, in higher prices, on some private deal that we're getting screwed on? Just like the pharmaceutical industry, the HMOs, they're going to make out like bandits on the Medicare reform. And here was a mysterious fax that came in late one Friday afternoon. The House of Representatives had adjourned for the week, and the mysterious fax that came in to someone who had been asking, an assistant to one of the representatives, been asking for information on what the new Medicare reforms, the prescription drug benefits would really cost, finally got an answer. More as we continue. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Take advantage of great low mortgage rates today. Call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package that is custom-tailored for your individual needs. A recent customer had this to say.
I got burned by another mortgage company. They made promises that simply didn't follow through. Then I called Western State Mortgage and they consolidated my debt at a much lower rate. And now I'm saving over $800 per month. I should have called Western State Mortgage first.
You too can lower your mortgage payment by literally hundreds of dollars per month. Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and if they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. Call them at 888-617-5255. That's 888-617-5255. Equal housing lender.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge products. During this event, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory. Profit is not a major consideration. MedVet is stocked fence to fence with a wide variety of Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Liberties, Chrysler minivans, and the all-new Chrysler 300. More arrive daily. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers, and financial officers will be on hand for immediate credit approval. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The MedVet Massive Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
Tomorrow on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tomorrow at 10, 9 Central on USA Network.
You breathe in and out some 20,000 times a day. It's a process you never think about. But for more than 30 million Americans, each and every breath is a struggle. You can help Coloradans breathe easier by supporting the American Lung Association of Colorado at Celebrating Americana Music, featuring Dakota Blonde. The benefit concert is Friday, March 26th at 7:30 at the Rialto Theater in Loveland. Tickets are only $15 and proceeds benefit lung health programs in Northern Colorado. For tickets, call 970-962-2120.
Management at AM 1150 KNRC have been listening to the Doug Kellett Show played backwards, looking for hidden subliminal messages. Here's what they found.
John Kerry would make a great president.
Find out what he says for yourself weekdays at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Jim Conder here, host of KNRC's Culture Buzz. Join me Thursday evening at 6 as I go deeper into movies with local film critics Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow. We'll have a fast, freewheeling discussion about the latest movies opening in the Denver area. You'll hear short reviews of the week's premieres, hear which films you should avoid and which films you don't want to miss. Plus, we'll fill you in about the latest film in Madstone Theater's new Premiere Pick series and tell you how you can win passes to see it. Visit knrcradio.com for more information.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
As I look into your eyes, I tell you what I see. Girl, you're the one I'm going to keep in my dreams. I want to hold you close.
Pitiful. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about John Ashcroft going fishing on a charter plane that we're paying $1,600 an hour for. I don't think so. I think he needs to pay for that himself. And we're also talking about Antonin Scalia, who will not recuse himself. He's gone hunting with Dick Cheney. And he won't recuse himself from a case that involves Dick Cheney trying to keep secret the people who comprised his Energy Advisory Commission. I think, is this Jeeky? Jeeky, how you're live with Enid. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, this is Jeeky. I always talk to you sometimes.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, I don't know. It was the Washington Post or the Denver Post or the Rocky Mountain News about a month ago. The airplane that Mr. Cheney and Mr. Scalia used for their fishing trip, I think it was provided by an energy company. It was provided by an energy company as a service to Mr. Ashcroft.
Well, there's a surprise.
Yeah, that's what I read, but don't quote me on there. It's been a while.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeeky, for that. I'm so surprised about that. Cindy in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I was just wanted to comment. I was just looking on the web, and there's a statement here by the president of Poland that their country has been taken for a ride by this administration. Him and everybody else, You know, I mean, when are people going to
wake up? Poland is making noises about pulling out its troops, the coalition of the unwilling. What is it? It's us and England. It's mostly us and a little bit of England and a smattering of, I don't know, people from Poland and the Spanish and maybe one or two other things.
Yeah, so the president of Poland says that this administration, meaning the Bush administration, has taken his country for a ride. Well, big surprise, huh?
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
I mean,
you know what? Here's what the administration is saying. They're calling the Spanish appeasers.
Well, see, that I was listening to, I hate to admit
so what
this,
do you,
but
what's there to eat anymore? We can't do freedom fries. We're not going to be able to have paella. I mean, what's left?
Well, I mean, I was listening to those two guys on the other channel yesterday going home, and that one, the G.I. Joe, I call him G.I. Joe.
What do you listen to them for? It's a completely content-free show.
I try sometimes try to get the other side of the story. But
don't bother. There is no other side that's worth listening to.
He was, you know,
just listen here.
So sarcastic and so demeaning to the people of Spain because they voted the way they did. Well, you know what? They have that choice. They see what path they're going down, and they're saying, I'm getting out.
Oh well, they aren't in the same delusional bubble that we're in, and they're looking at it more clear-eyed, and saying, you know what? This makes no sense at all, and I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah, and then another thing about
Cindy, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time in this hour. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the Pentagon. A battle now raging in an area near Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. NBC's Jim Maceda in Islamabad says Pakistani officials believe their forces may have trapped the number two man in the Al-Qaeda terror organization.
Two battalions, that's about 1,600 troops, of the Pakistan Army went in with helicopters, with heavy artillery, and they once again came up against about 100, they say, heavily armed foreigners and or local tribesmen dug in his positions, fighting fiercely.
It could involve Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's number two man. No serious injuries reported in explosions at two Baghdad hotels. It's not clear what caused those blasts. And Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia says there's no conflict of interest, so he won't remove himself from a case involving his friend, Vice President Dick Cheney. The two men went on a hunting trip together. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
Another startling fact from Progressive. Only 1 out of 2 million Americans will ever wake up and say, wow, it would be really fun to call around for car insurance quotes today. So just in case you're that one person, call or go online and get our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Because frankly, the only thing people think about less than buying car insurance is how often they should clean their dryer's lint screen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tomorrow on USA Network, from executive producers Bruce Willis, Arnold Rifkin, and the Hughes Brothers, a new original series, Touching Evil. For Detective David Cregan, being dead was easy. Coming back was the tough part.
I was clinically insane for a while there, but I'm all right now.
Now he'll do things no detective in his right mind would ever dare.
I'm going to get inside your head, and I'm going to stay there until you tell me where those boys are.
Touching Evil, an all-new episode tomorrow at 10, 9 central on USA Network.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Xantrex 3, and we're trying to clean up an accident southbound I-25 at 20th. You had a little bit of a problem as well at Hampton and Elm. Should be out of the way, of course, over at the Bad Pepsi Center. We do have the NCAA basketball tournament. Watch for a lot of foot traffic and car traffic in through there. And if you're seeing smoke out by the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, it's a controlled burn. So put your mind at ease. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3, rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3 at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. I'm Darren Coleman with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, it's another beautiful day in the metro area, but if you think back to a year ago, the snow was flying as we were in the midst of the big blizzard of 2003. National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Koopmeiner says, as he recalls, this storm did not catch he and his colleagues by surprise.
The data we were looking at several days before the storm indicated that it looked like a powerful snowmaker for us. And then the consistency of the run-to-run of the models, it kept showing good consistency. So we had it pegged pretty good.
No snow in the forecast now. In fact, Koopmeiner says that tomorrow we could get close to the record high for tomorrow, set in 1907. That was 81 degrees. This report being brought to you by the Denver Post. The Glendale Soundtrack store is back in business. That's where a 22-year-old warehouse employee was strangled on Monday when his shirt got caught in some conveyor belt gears. The store was closed Tuesday and yesterday. Meanwhile, OSHA, the federal agency that oversees workplace safety, is looking into the matter. It's trying to determine whether the conveyor belt safety stop switch might have malfunctioned. Only two of the eight teams coming to Denver for the NCAA men's basketball tournament will still be standing when play concludes on Saturday. But according to some, the real winner is the Metro Denver economy. Jill Strunk of the Metro Denver Convention and Visitors Bureau says this segment of the tournament will pour between $7 and $15 million into area businesses.
The reason the range is so big on that, the difference, is that it depends on which groups made it into the NCAA. It depends on their fan base and the regional support for those groups. We know that with BYU and a couple of the other groups that are coming in for this one will have great fan support regionally.
Strunk says that what cannot be estimated at this time is the residual economic impact of having the tournament here. That's based on the number of this weekend's visitors who decide to return and those who are attracted by seeing shots of Denver during the event's TV coverage. In sports, and only their regular season meeting, the Colorado Avalanche play the Senators in Ottawa tonight. Avs have won four of their last six outings. It's an off night for the Denver Nuggets before they head to Detroit tomorrow. Last night in Boston, Nuggets lost 104-100 to the Celts. The Pepsi Center cited the four NCAA games today, including one featuring the Air Force Falcons against the North Carolina Tar Heels. Air Force forward Joel Gerlach is asked if the Falcons derive motivation from the lack of respect they've received from the national media.
That's all opinions. Everyone has their own opinion, and we just have to prove ourselves on the court whether we deserve to be there or not.
This is the first time since 1962 that Air Force has made it to the big dance. Today's daily deal is $2 off any $10 7-Eleven and Verizon flat rate prepaid phone card at 7-Eleven. Look for it in today's Denver Post on the weather page. Start your day with the daily deal. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
No matter what happens,
where it happens,
or how it happens, get the information you need here first.
First,
AM 1150, KNRC.
KNRC.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series asks if filing criminal charges against the Canuck player who attacked the Colorado Avalanche's Steve Moore is appropriate. Hockey has a reputation as a violent game, largely because of the fights that often break out. This attack was reportedly in retribution for a previous incident, and some level of violence was anticipated by the media and fans. Should a player who was following the spirit, if not the rules of the game, be severely punished for his actions? Or should critical injury be an acceptable risk of a sport that seems to encourage violence? What do you think? Join host Greg Dobbs and a panel of Coloradans to debate this issue and more on Colorado State of Mind, Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime at the Colorado State of Mind discussion board at rmpbs.org. Don't miss Colorado State of Mind every Friday night at 8:30 only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperatures today, more than 15 degrees above normal, and it's going to be even warmer tomorrow. Sunshine along with patchy clouds and a high around 71. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 43. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 78. And on Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds back into the low 70s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday post-St. Patrick's Day edition of Enid Live. Are they still scooping you up off the sidewalk, is my question. How was your St. Patrick's Day? Did you live to tell about it? Did you wobble home? I hope you weren't driving. I should have told you not to drive yesterday, but you're smart. Well, we have a smart audience here, so I know you're not going to drink and drive, even though it is St. Patrick's Day. I stopped over at the press club The Depressed Club. And it was in high spirits last night. I didn't stay too long, though. Okay, we were talking about a lot of things, so let me reprise what we are discussing. First of all, everybody is full of reports that there is serious fighting going on, fierce resistance being encountered. The Pakistanis are fighting, and this is at the border. I don't know, why aren't we there? Why aren't we fighting there? But this is at the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and what we have here are fierce resistance, and they think they've got somebody really high-level cornered. They think it's the number two guy to Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Then they're speculating that if Ayman al-Zawahiri is there, that Osama bin Laden is probably close by. So if there's any news, we will break in. We're carrying MSNBC. We will break in and bring you all the latest, and we are monitoring that situation. I don't know if dancing in the streets is premature. We'll see what happens there. We're also talking about the fact that John Ashcroft is going fishing, and he's doing it on a chartered plane, and I think we're paying for it. I don't think he's paying for it. It's $1,600 an hour to charter this jet to fly this plane, and the FBI, which works under John Ashcroft, he oversees the FBI, I think. Doesn't the Justice Department, isn't the FBI part of the Justice Department? They said, well, it's a part of a threat assessment, and we think it's like the people who surrounded Martha Stewart, who loved her, supported her, and gave her hideously bad advice because they were trying to contemplate anticipate what she would want. And so in doing that, by liking her too much and supporting her too much, they gave her very bad advice, and she's going to be going off to the pokey sometime fairly soon. So here's John Ashcroft. You want to pay for him to go fishing in Mississippi? You want to, or should he be paying for it? And what about Antonin Scalia, who's going to be on the Supreme Court, looking at a Dick Cheney case? Dick Cheney refuses to reveal the people who made up. And you have to ask yourself, why does he refuse to reveal this? Is this not a democracy? Why won't he tell us who comprised his Energy Advisory Committee, but he won't do it? That case will now come before the Supreme Court. And Scalia and Cheney go hunting together. One of you called up to say corporate plane that has to do with some energy company. Oh, aren't we surprised about that? And Scalia refuses to recuse himself. Do you think that's fair? Should he not recuse himself? I think he should recuse himself. New York Times reporting, late one Friday afternoon in January, after the House of Representatives had adjourned for the week, Sybil Bjorklund, a House Democrat health policy aide, heard the buzz of the fax machine at her desk. Coming over the transom with no hint of the sender was a document she had been seeking for months, an estimate by Medicare's chief actuary showing the cost of prescription drug benefits for the elderly. It was dated June 11, 2003. The document put the cost at $551.5 billion over 10 years. The administration said it would be $395 billion or so. And conservative Republicans said they would not vote for it if it was over $400 billion. So the administration assured everybody that it would not be over $400 billion, knowing full well that it would be. The chief actuary put it at, $552 billion, roughly, over 10 years. It appeared to confirm what Ms. Bjorklund and her bosses on the House Ways and Means Committee had long suspected. The actuary, Richard S. Foster, had concluded the legislation would be far more expensive than Congress's $400 billion estimate, and had kept quiet while lawmakers voted on the bill and President Bush signed it into law. Miss Bjorklund had been pressing Mr. Foster for his number since June when he refused, telling her that he could be fired, she said. She confronted his boss, Thomas Scully, then the Medicare administrator. Scully said, if Rick Foster gives that to you, I'll fire him so fast his head will spin. Scully denies making such threats. These conversations among three government employees, an obscure congressional aide, a little-known actuary, and a high-level official remain secret until now. And Ms. Bjorklund still does not know who sent the facts. But Mr. Foster went public last week, and details of his struggle for independence within the Bush administration are now emerging, raising questions about whether the White House intentionally withheld crucial data from lawmakers. The administration says Democrats, whose Medicare proposals could have easily cost nearly $1 trillion, are exploiting the controversy for political gain at the expense of the elderly. But some Republicans are openly questioning the White House, and the Senate Democratic leader, bestirring himself from his long slumber, Tom Daschle of South Dakota, said he saw a growing scandal over the Medicare drug bill. Senator Edward Kennedy, the Massachusetts Democrat and leading critic of the Medicare bill, put the issue in stark Watergate-era terms, saying, "What did the president know, and when did he know it?" Let me tell you something. Here's what Martha Stewart is getting sent off to the pokey for. She lied. That was it. Not insider trading. She's not being sent up for that. That charge was tossed. Not anything to do with insider trading, but lying to investigators. And she's going to go to prison for that. And here you have an administration lying up one side and down the other. Have we found weapons of mass destruction? Let me ask you, those of you who are George W. Dickey Bush supporters, how can you still remain so? Have any of you changed your minds? You have a wonderful cover. Those of you who are pro-war, even if you were Democrats, you can now change your mind about the war and save face at the same time by saying, you know what, I was for it, but I thought they were weapons of mass destruction. I think that's what a lot of people are going to say. And that's okay. Change your mind, and change your mind on this administration, too. But if you're a Republican and you support this administration still in the face of these massive lies and just about every arena you can think of, Medicare, fake commercials touting fake pharmacists who are really actors and fake reporters who are also really actors, pretending to tell you, reading from scripts written by the government about how great this prescription drug benefit is for seniors. It's not. It's terrible. And it's worse for the rest of us who have to pay for it. It's the best for the pharmaceutical companies and for the HMOs who stand a windfall profits here. That the government is not allowed to use its vast resources to negotiate a better price on the prescription drugs. Can you believe that? And here's an administration that seems to care an awful lot about the war on drugs, right? It cares a great deal about whether you're taking too much Vicodin or OxyContin. Not that fat boy across the way at Walmart has been shipped off to the pokey. But when it comes to real meds and the prices for those of us, many of us who do not have jobs, a lot of people have stopped looking for work. That this has been one of the an unusual thing in our history, in that we have been, not lately, since those bombings in Spain. The market has taken a plunge, and it's not. And I don't know what the market is today, but it hasn't been very perky the last few days. So here we're having some sort of a recovery, but it was a jobless recovery. A lot of people don't have jobs. A lot of jobs being outsourced. How are you going to make a living? How are you going to buy the products that everybody wants you to buy to keep the economy floating? How are you going to do it if you don't have a job? And I'm reading more and more stories about people who don't have health insurance. The health insurance rates are so high. If you have to pay for it yourself, you're talking about thousands of dollars a year. A lot of people haven't got it. And a lot of people who at least are old enough to qualify for Medicare, covered by Medicare, have to decide whether they're going to eat or whether they're going to buy their meds. It's not a choice they should have to make. This is a really rich company, country. It is a rich company. That's what it's become. All right, here's the Wall Street Journal talking about these emails that have gone between the chief actuary here, who was prevented. He was threatened with being fired, and his boss, who said he would be fired. The boss denied that he said it, but this guy apparently produced emails to that effect. How do you feel about that? If you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat, how about this information being suppressed so that Congress... If you are going to be a responsible lawmaker, you need to have information at your disposal. And when the information is suppressed like that and you can't get a real number, you can't make an intelligent decision. And that they would not allow the information to come forward so that Congress had that real number in hand is duplicitous, it's deceitful, it's lying, it's corrupt. Martha Stewart is being sent to the pokey, not for insider trading, but because she lied to investigators, and by law she didn't even have to talk to them. She's got this fabulous, expensive counsel, and she didn't have to talk to them. They didn't prepare her very well. She did it on the fly. She was so sure that she was clean on the insider trading charges because she had not received a tip from Sam Waxel, who was the head of ImClone, that she just blew him off. And Jeffrey Toobin wrote this piece in the New Yorker. You can access it online. It's really good. And you see him on, I think he's on CNN a lot. And he said that apparently when the FBI was conducting, or the SEC, or whoever was conducting their interview with Martha Stewart, she was abrupt with them and she dismissed them with, "Well, gentlemen, I have a business to run." "Oh, really? Ooh, well, that's really smart, Martha. Marthu. Well, you're going to be decorating your pokey room there. And if you can believe the tabloids, lesbian gangs in prisons all over the country are waiting for her to come in. They are poised. Gentlewomen, start your engines now. So she is really going to be a target when she gets in there. They may have to, I don't know what they're going to do. If they put her in solitary, she'll just start redecorating. Who knows? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. It's been a year since the war in Iraq. Tomorrow, I guess, is the date. Is tomorrow the actual date? Todd says yes. Are we safer? Was Howard Dean right when we brought in Saddam Hussein? Are we any safer? There was an incident today in Basra. You tell me. Are we safer? And then you got a guy who was a chief lobbyist, Stephen J. Griles. He's been under a lot of scrutiny. And here's the Denver Post, its editorial. "Report on alleged ethical lapses at the U.S. Department of Interior is an egregious example of buck passing. Far from resolving controversies concerning Deputy Interior Secretary J. Stephen Griles, the report questions the department's overall commitment to ethical conduct and fairness. Interior Secretary Gail Norton says the Inspector General's report clears Griles. Not quite. In reality, the 146-page document shows Griles may have overstepped proper behavior on two specific matters, a dinner his former business partners hosted for top interior employees, and coal bed methane drilling in Wyoming's Powder River Basin." He was a lobbyist on behalf of, I think, the energy industry, maybe the coal, I forget which one exactly. It's like putting the hen house in charge of the fox. It was like Bush's appointment, and I don't know who does his vetting for him, but they must be as dumb as he is. But Bush putting forward a manufacturing czar who had just outsourced a bunch of jobs to China and opened up a plant there. Can you believe that? The minute the Democrats got wind of that, they were on it like you know what on you know what. And guess what? That's it. The guy's name was pulled. 303-382-1150. So if you're a big Bush supporter, if you're a Bush man, if you're as dopey as he is, I want to hear from you. If you have Bushes for brains, why? How can you support this dishonest, corrupt regime? How do you rationalize it? I want to know how you do it. Your brain must tie itself in knots, and you must be developing hernias in your brains because it's just stretching itself into these loops of trying to justify behavior that is immoral and unjustifiable. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, knrcradio.com, knrcradio.com, and then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
If you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, stop by McDonald Automotive Group today, located on Broadway just north of Arapahoe Road. McDonald Automotive, the region's largest selection of certified pre-owned imports.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Scott Cohn, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are mixed in the final hour of trading, the Dow up about 2 points, the Nasdaq down 11.5. Microsoft is planning to go to court to appeal an antitrust decision by the European Union. The EU is accusing the software giant of unfairly bundling products with its Windows operating system, thereby shutting out rival software companies. Kmart shares are up 7.75% after the company announced its first profitable quarter since emerging from bankruptcy. The retailer says it's seen no significant impact on sales of its exclusive Martha Stewart line of home decor since Stewart's conviction. Morgan Stanley says the improving stock market is helping boost its bottom line. Income for the financial services giant rose 35% in the last quarter. If you're driving a Chevy Silverado or a GMC Sierra, you may have to take it back to the dealer. General Motors is planning to recall more than 4 million of those pickups because of a problem with the tailgate. Once again, stocks are mixed. The Dow up 5, the Nasdaq down 11. Scott Cohn, CNBC Business Radio.
For 3 years running, Medicine Shop pharmacies have been rated number one by the Wilson RX Pharmacy Satisfaction Report. We're first in friendliness of pharmacists, first in on-time filling of prescriptions, and first in overall pharmacy satisfaction. When you take an active role in the health of your customers, people tend to notice. Bring in your prescription and see why we're number one. And if you're a new customer, ask about a free cold and allergy kit. Kits available while supplies last at participating Medicine Shop pharmacies. Look for our ad and TV guide.
Spring is here again, and that means it's a great time to clean. Did you know that Walgreens carries a wide selection of cleaning supplies? Everything from buckets to disinfecting sprays and mops to air fresheners, all at prices you'll love. And with over 4,300 Walgreens stores, you'll find one right around the corner. In short, Walgreens has everything you need to make your house sparkle this spring, except maybe the kitchen sink.
On to the first and second round NCAA tournament. I'm Tony Desiri, KNRC Sports. Game one of this bracket goes to the Maryland Terrapins. They beat UTEP 86-83. Miners took 2 3-pointers at the buzzer. Both fall through as the Terps move on to the second round. Chris McCray led the Terps with 19 points, including 2 big free throws with seconds on the clock. Maryland will play the winner of our next game, BYU and Syracuse. That is underway in just a few minutes. From the Pepsi Center, side of the NCAA tournament, I'm Tony Desiri, KNRC Sports.
Who is Jimmy Lakey?
Turn on your radio.
Turn on your radio.
Would you please turn on your radio?
Find out morning 6 till 10, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm getting a lot of emails from some of you. Roger says that that when Scalia and Cheney went hunting, they used a government plane. They were with a Scalia friend, Wallace Carlin, who owns an oil rig services firm. But apparently they went on that hunting trip on a government plane. Well, I don't think we should be paying for them going on a hunting trip. Also, it's being reported they think that they've not only cornered the number two man, Ayman al-Zawahiri, somewhere in the Pakistan-Afghani border, but they believe that Zawahiri has been injured. That's the information that's being reported. And so if there's any more news, we will bring it to you. Let's go with the phones. Emilio calling from North Glen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, yes, you called. You said to call in if we were a Bush supporter.
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah, so, why? Tell me why. Explain it to me.
Okay, for me, it goes to the ends, you know, and I know it's a bad way to say it, but the ends justify the means. And I think that what we've been doing in the last couple of years is taking the fight to the Middle East, taking the fight overseas, and considering our increased involvement in the Middle East. We haven't had any problems here directly at home. We've had problems with our soldiers. I was in the Marines, and I was willing to go over and fight. So from my perspective, better to have servicemen and women over there in the fight.
Okay, now, Emilio, but let's go to a couple things, and then we'll come back to the war. Let's talk about the drug benefit for seniors, where the administration really lied about what it was going to cost us, and even conservative Republicans are angry about that. How do you feel about it?
Well, to me, it's the domestic issues aren't as important, and there's going to be problems that I'm going to have with any administration. I'm going to have problems with any government and with any major leaders. You can have people on the opposing side.
Well, wait, now Congress was lied to. Congress was actively lied to.
By Clinton, you're right.
No, I'm talking about by Bush. You're a Bush supporter,
you're right.
Actively lied to Congress.
But
do you see, now wait a minute. We there are no weapons of mass destruction. This is a lie that was used to sell the war to the American public. This Medicare reform is not going to be $400 billion. It's going to be closer to $600 billion. And conservative Republicans said they would not vote for it if it was over $400, so they made it $395. And then as soon as it was passed, it was, oh, excuse me, oh, so sorry, it was really $550 or so billion. Now, how do you justify that?
The weapons of mass destruction, on that point, it's a matter of intelligence. And what you call a lie, I call mistakes in information and intelligence. And the same information.
All right, so there were mistakes made. Is that what you're telling me, Emilio?
If there are, and we're not in the past 10 years, weapons of mass destruction, which we don't know, the same that we didn't know before we went in.
But wait, we went in on the basis of our vaunted intelligence. Now, we had 9/11, which is the most massive intelligence failure in the history of the country. And isn't it funny that nobody got fired? And on the basis of that intelligence, we went to war. And when the administration, how is it that the president said we had, that Iraq was connected to Al-Qaeda when, in fact, Iraq and Al-Qaeda were not connected to each other?
Well, that would be the equivalent, for me, of firing all the senior administrators at NASA because one of our rocket ships blows up and saying that these aren't the best people for the job. Let's go and find new people, even though these people have been in intelligence.
But, I mean, what does it say about leadership? So, wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this right, Emilio. I want to be sure I'm quoting you correctly. You don't care that much about domestic issues. You don't care that Congress was lied to. That's not an issue for you. And massively that an actuary was threatened with losing his job if he told Congress, if he answered the question honestly about what these Medicare reforms were going to cost. You don't think that that's deceptive? A lie? Is that a lie, Emilia? Was Congress lied to?
If your sources and what you consider news are correct, then I would agree with you. Yes, that's a lie.
Well, can I ask you what you read? What are your news sources? Because mine are the New York Times, the front page of today's New York Times, for example, and the Wall Street Journal, too. Both have these stories pretty high up.
You're right. And
and where are you reading them? Are you reading the news?
I'm not sure how that directly would affect whether or not I'd vote for Bush over Kerry.
Oh, wait a minute. That they lie about just about every... Well, what about the tax cuts, the deficits that are so enormous and the tax cut that were sold as benefiting middle-class America but really benefit only the richest Americans? What about that?
Well, the same Greenspan that had our great economy during the Clinton years is telling us now that the tax cuts are what we need and not to repeal them. Instead, we need to...
Emilio, that's not exactly right. But, Emilio, where are you getting your information?
Several sources, but
give them to me. Are you reading a newspaper?
Yes.
Which one do you read?
I do read the Wall Street Journal. Occasionally, I pick up the New York Times on campus.
Are you a student?
Yes.
And where are you a student?
In Boulder.
At CU.
Yes.
Okay. And you think that, and you don't want to concern yourself with domestic issues. And where else are you getting your information?
No, it's not that I don't care. What I'm mostly concerned about, though, is the 15 terrorist attacks in 20 years we've had.
All right, then let me ask you then, since 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, what did we go after Iraq for? Why didn't we go after Saudi Arabia? Why didn't we go after Osama bin Laden? Why have we taken our eye off the ball of Osama bin Laden to allow them to regroup?
Because it's not as simple as one man in this fight, and it wasn't one man who did 15 attacks in the last 20 years on American interests, American bases.
Yeah, but I'm scratching my head here, Emilio. What are you studying at CU Boulder, and what are your grades, if any?
My grades are good. I'm studying film production.
Film production?
Yes.
Yes, that would be very good. You stay with film production, Emilio. Do not go into politics. All right?
Fair enough.
All right. I thank you for the call. Call me again. Oh, my God. Oh, my. How did he get in to see you? Oh, my God. You can respond to that. Maybe I'm a bitch. What can I say? 303-382-1150. Oh, my God. He had an answer for everything. It doesn't matter. I mean, reality. Forget about it. As somebody once said, reality should be a word that has quotation marks around it. Well, this is a living and ambulatory example. Would you like to comment about that phone call and how you can support President Bush no matter what? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And I see, speaking of CU Boulder, I see that that conservative the conservative Bill of Rights is going to be dropped as legislation. So let me see if I got this right. We come under horrible terrorist attacks. We don't go after the people who really are the ones who have done us the most harm. Instead, what do we concentrate on? Partial birth abortion, late-term abortion. We concentrate on gay marriage, a constitutional amendment. We concentrate in the state of Colorado on should you have explicit sexual material at eye level for kids. Well, what is eye level for a kid? If it's a 2-year-old, it's on the bottom shelf. And if it's a 15-year-old who's tall, it's on the top shelf. What is eye level? This is what they're concentrating on. When they're not busy lying to Congress, when they're not busy lying to the American public about weapons of mass destruction. Emilio, I'm praying to you on my knees. Emilio, don't for one second go into politics, and please don't vote. Whatever you do, please never, never, never take yourself into the voting booth. 303-382-1150. What would you have said to him? I mean, there was no way to rationally have a discussion about this. The lines are full. They will open up. Let's head over to Terry in Denver. You're live with Enid. Hi, Terry. Oh, what happened? What happened to... I think we're having some problems here. Okay.
Hello?
Terry, hi. Sorry about that. We're having some technical problems. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I think the problem lies in both sides. You got, like, you and your side, the liberals, and this Emil guy who called, who's a conservative. No, the extremes don't hold the truth. You got to look in the middle. I used to support Bush. I think he's turned into pretty much a dismal failure. But he hasn't done any worse than any other administration.
He's done a lot worse. Oh, no, he's done a lot worse. Look at the historic deficits. Look at people losing their lives in a battle that never had to be fought.
But we had that under Democratic presidents, too. Kennedy got us into Vietnam.
I don't know if it was Kennedy that got us into Vietnam.
Eisenhower,
there were...
Kennedy jumped us up in truth.
Well, let's talk about right now. Forget Vietnam for the moment, because there are some parallels here. But you have horrible, horrible deficits. You have lies that were told one after another. I mean, this is a crossroads in this country. This is a polarized country, which it was not polarized in the same way under Kennedy until later on Vietnam. But not.
It's not as polarized as people think. They say it's 50-50. That 50-50 comes from 25%
how can
of the
you,
country
how,
who's going to vote.
Terry, how can you defend an administration that won't even give the right figures about what the Medicare drug
like
reform is going to cost? They won't even tell Congress.
I used to be supporters of them. When they betrayed veterans, I thought that was the lowest thing they could do.
They talked about supporting the troops, and you're absolutely right. They betrayed their veterans. You are so right. So who are you going to vote for in the presidential election?
Right now, nobody. Nobody is. I can't stand the liberal social agenda. I like the liberal.
Oh, what part of that social agenda don't you like? Is it the jobs part, or is it the part about health care insurance? Which part of that agenda are you not in favor of? Rick, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Welcome.
Enid.
Yeah.
Enid. Hey, what I don't like about the socialist or the liberal agenda, you talk about the health care issues, it's confiscating my wealth, the fruits of my labor to go to pay for other people's, health care.
So let me just ask you something, Rick.
Okay.
When you're driving on the roads,
yeah,
you're living in a country that gives you the most possibility for success. You don't feel like you owe it any way, shape, or form you should support this country?
Well, yeah, I do. I do with the 45%
who
tax rate.
Who built the roads? Who built the structure? It costs money to keep the country going.
Certainly, I understand that. I don't like where some of the money goes. I'm not a Bush fan at all.
Who are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for?
Well, that's
who did you vote? Who did you vote for in the last election?
Oh, I did vote for Bush.
And this election, who are you going to go for?
I'm probably going to opt out, and the reason why I'm opting out is because I'm hoping that they get the message on the right.
You can really make that case to the right is to vote for a Democrat and get Bush out of there. Because let me ask you, are you in that top 1%? Are you making over $300,000 a year, Rick?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
Not at all.
Would you call yourself?
About $55,000 a year.
Okay, $55,000 a year.
Single, no kids.
Bush is not your friend, Rick. Bush is your friend if you're making over $300,000 a year.
Neither party, if they're captured by transnational corporations' interests.
I won't disagree with you on that, but I think that Kerry will give... Well,
Kerry's an empty suit. Kerry's an empty suit.
No, he's not. He fought and Bush didn't. He fought and Bush didn't. He's not an empty suit. Bush is more the... Bush!
Every war, Enid.
Bush
is... We've been in since World War I.
Bush is the emptiest... He is the emptiest of suits. Rick, Bush is the emptiest of suits. This is a guy who has been a failure at everything he tried in life. He was a drunk until he was 40 years old, which is a long time to be a party boy. I'm sure that a lot of whatever he made, and he didn't make all that much, went up his nose. Oh, no, Rick, I think of the two of them. And Kerry fought. Bush went into the National Guard, and then he didn't show up when he wasn't busy with insider trading. Please, it's a bad comparison. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 68 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by AutoZone. Kind of put the finishing touches on an accident. Eastbound I-70 right at York. Watch for that. A lot of delays due to that particular problem. You are seeing smoke out by the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. It's a controlled burn, so don't be alarmed. And, of course, out by the Pepsi Center, we have the NCAA basketball tournament. Watch for a lot of people coming in and out of there all day today. Three-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, Sunday only. You can get a pair of ValueCraft headlight bulbs for only $9.99. Limit one pair per customer while supplies last. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Despite recent budget cuts, the city of Denver still faces another budget deficit in 2005. Margaret Brown, the city's finance director, says Denver will be $15 million short in the 2005 fiscal year. Mayor Hickenlooper says it could be less gloomy if the city's economy bounces back. This report being brought to you by Verizon Wireless. The Metro Denver Convention and Visitors Bureau says between $7 and $15 million will flow into area businesses thanks to the NCAA men's basketball tournament going on this week at the Pepsi Center. The Bureau expects the tournament will have a residual effect, too, with some visitors deciding to return and from those who see the city portrayed during TV coverage of the tournament. Prosecutors in Grand Junction continue presenting their case against Michael Blagg, who is accused of murdering his wife in 2001. Yesterday, prosecutors blasted the defendant for going on a spending spree less than 2 months after his wife and daughter went missing. Jennifer Blagg's body was later found in a county landfill, but their 6-year-old daughter is still missing and presumed dead. Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. This is your last chance this season to see Maren Alsop conduct the Colorado Symphony. Maestro Alsop conducts Mahler's Symphony No. 7, Song of the Night, on March 19th, 20th, and 21st. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The incredible warmth is the story. Sunshine and patchy clouds this afternoon. Southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour and a high around 71. Mainly clear tonight, still breezy with a low of 43. Even more so tomorrow as we top out around 78. On Saturday, still quite pleasant for the first day of spring. Highs in the low 70s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 68 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack Demesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. It doesn't cost a thing.
News at the top and bottom of the hour, zero.
It might be your best investment.
Traffic and weather, zero.
So when they say you can't get anything good for free,
I need a price check on these sports reports.
Tell them you know the place where there is all of the free information they can handle.
Carol, sports reports? Those are free.
Thank you.
This is your information superstore.
Your total comes to zero. Paper or plastic?
AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
.144 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. In the next hour, we'll be joined by John Dunning, The Bookman's Promise, a wonderful book. Right now, we are talking about a caller I had who was really wrung himself inside out trying to endorse Bush. And I don't see how you can do it. But there's one line open. Somebody take it. 303-382-1150. Don calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. Yeah, I think you better thank Emilio because I just upped the amount I'm going to send to James Carville and the Democratic National Committee after listening to that kind of stuff. But I got a Carville letter yesterday, you know, usual thing, send money. And he has some good things to say, like they're privatizing Medicare, they're squandering goodwill, they lie, good stuff there. And so now instead of sending 50 or 100, I know it's going to be quite a bit more than that to the Democratic National Committee in Washington.
Well, good for you, Don. Bravo, bravo. They can use it.
Anyway, you know, the goofy thing about all this is that I've been a precinct leader for the Democrats in Boulder for a long time. And I wound up on the mailing list of the Republican National Committee and the Bush-Cheney campaign, and also Nightmare Campbell. And what happened is, except for Campbell, they all send prepaid envelopes. So what I do with all these things is send back the form with pithy remarks, and I mean very pithy, and tell them where to go, and these things keep coming. So if they're that good about identifying Republican voters like me, they're going to lose this election.
Well, I don't count them out. I don't know. You know, if you had said earlier in the week, I said it's not going to be as close as everyone thinks. But that was on Monday. On Thursday, I'm singing a different tune because they are coming out very hard. It might work against them. It might work for them. It depends on if they bring in Osama, Ayman al-Zawahiri. But this group and people who are disappointed with them don't just not vote. They will still be in office. You've got to vote Democratic, I think, is the message here. Don, I thank you for the call. Thanks for your contribution, too. 303-382-1150. Hal, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, brace yourself. I heard a really obscure newscast on another network. I think it was Tuesday. They just had it for 2 days or 2 hours on Tuesday, and I only heard it twice. Is that they were unloading, the Americans and the British were unloading very interesting objects off of the ship in southern Iraq that looked like missiles and maybe...
Yeah. Hal, you're in your dreams. You're hoping. You're having a missile dream.
No, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm saying is that they were brought over there in transport ships and are unloading them, and they could be surprised upon us, and they could appear all of a sudden in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
And say, oh, we found them.
Well, they were coming in on a sea, you know, on a transport.
No, ships.
Unloading. Oh, ships. Okay.
The United States and Great Britain.
Yeah, but I kept saying, at the time of the war, I kept saying they're going to come in on transport planes, those weapons of mass destruction. Well, Hal, we'll keep our eyeballs open and see, and I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Sandy in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandy.
Oh, sorry about that. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're always asking, why didn't the U.S. go into Arabia? Why didn't they go into Iran? I want to ask you, why not Iraq?
Well,
and don't tell me because they're not terrorists there, please. Don't even go there.
Okay, I won't even go there. But
they are terrorists.
Okay.
We are fighting terrorists.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah. But let me ask you, did Iraq have anything to do with 9/11, Sandy?
How can you prove they didn't?
Well, I can prove that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. So, don't you think?
It doesn't matter, but can you prove?
What, that? Wait! That I can't.
What?
But
that's
even
the way
even,
you discuss.
But wait a minute. Even the White House said that there was no connection between 9/11 and Iraq. They have said that
matter,
on the
but
record.
The White House doesn't need your permission as to where we should go. By the way.
Wait! No! Don't jump away! Don't jump away, Sandy. Just a minute. You asked me, and I said the White House has said on the record that there was no connection between 9/11 and Iraq. So why should we go to Iraq? Why should we?
There's terrorists. I didn't say anything about 9/11. But we're fighting terrorists, not 9/11.
But the terrorists had nothing to do with us.
It doesn't matter. We're fighting terrorists.
Well, why
don't
we go fight? Why don't we go fight terrorists where there are more of them in the Congo and places like that where they're really terrible?
Can't we go where we want to?
But
we are the United States, aren't we? We are the mighty.
Are we the we are the mighty?
We are the mighty. And I'll tell you something else.
Yes, please.
Clinton, I voted for him. He's smart. He didn't go to war like stupid Kerry. Bush is as smart as Clinton. Got it? Goodbye.
So, we are the high and the mighty. We are. You may want to comment on that caller. 303-382-1150. Once again, a failure of logic. I cannot marshal sufficient logic, and neither can you, boys and girls, and you will be better debaters than I am, but maybe you will be more successful. But there is no way to marshal any logic when you are faced with callers like this. You tell me, what would you have said to Sandy? What would you have said to Sandy? 303-382-1150. Ruth, calling from Fort Collins. Are you live with Enid?
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
No, you can't deal with them. They refuse to see it, and they sound like they're fairly young. And I'm afraid that what's going to happen.
Well, she didn't sound young. Sandy did not sound young.
No, I'm talking about
Sandy sounded like she needed a facelift.
A student, Emilio.
Oh.
I'm afraid they're going to wake up one day and realize that their country no longer belongs to them. That it's no longer a democratic country, or that, like they like to call it, a republic, but that it's owned privately by enormous private corporations, because that's what we're involved with.
Ruth?
I would like to say one thing.
Yeah.
I cannot understand, because these people that have been calling that will not believe what's in front of them, and they keep making excuses for all of Bush's lies to the UN, to the American people, to our allies, over and over and over. But I'll bet you, Enid, that they were the same people that were ready to impeach Clinton because he lied to Congress about a dumb, stupid affair.
I think you're probably right about that, Ruth.
It didn't put us into any debt. It trillions of dollars. It didn't cost any lives. And yet they were willing to tar and feather him. But Bush has ruined our economy, caused young men to lose their lives for nothing, and yet they will keep excusing him and excusing him. Well, I hope they feel that way when they wake up someday and find that they live in a total fascist nation.
Ruth, I thank you for the call. Thank you very much. 303-382-1150. What do you think about what Ruth just said? Kathy, calling from Englewood. Are you live with Enid?
Hi, Enid. I'm just calling to respond to your plea for, what do you say to people like, I can't remember, was his name Emilio?
Or Sandy.
Or Sandy. And specifically about, you know, the truths or untruths.
I think this proves my thesis that conservatives are the FACO conservatives are just not as smart.
That they don't want to be. You know, it's like they've got blinders on. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to mention, and I have nothing to do with this book, and you may have seen this in the newspaper recently, but there's a former ex-Republican Delaware governor by the name of Russell Peterson.
Yes, and he's very anti. He's a Democrat now, but he's not in office anymore.
Exactly, and he just wrote a book, I guess, called Patriot Stand Up. And, I mean, he's talking about all of this stuff, and this guy is so highly credentialed. And, you know, the sad thing is if people who don't want to hear the truth would just take the time to read a couple of things, if they just go read Henry Waxman's,
matter. They're never, even if they read it, it's impenetrable. Yeah. It's not going to have one bit of difference. You just heard these conversations, and I don't know if your jaw has dropped, but mine has. Oh. I thank you, Kathy, for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Edith Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
What hit the fan while you were hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jimmy Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Alaska Airlines introduces Common Sense Fares. Alaska's fares are now cheaper and have fewer restrictions, including no more Friday or Saturday night stay requirements on Alaska Airlines routes. Visit AlaskaAir.com.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Lyric Opera Guild is celebrating its 20th year, and you're invited to attend the annual finals competition judged by prominent leaders in the opera world. The Denver Lyric Opera Guild has awarded over $500,000 in scholarships to aspiring young Colorado singers. The final competition is free and open to the public on March 20th, 7 p.m. at Hamilton Hall in the University of Denver Newman Center. Join the Denver Lyric Opera Guild and hear some of the finest young singers in Colorado.
Of your talk radio selections in Denver, we want to make you some promises today. We won't be reading you the Denver Post newspaper every day like they do on one station. We figure you can read for yourself. Or that other station with Dr. Laura. She's annoying. And why choose a station with all syndicated talk shows? Here's what you get when you try to dial in with your opinion.
We're sorry. Please check the number.
At AM 1150 KNRC. When you call in, we'll let you have your say.
It's really a 24/7 station.
That's what hearing both sides talk is all about. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Beep, 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 yeah.
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150, KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least five times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Let's go right to the phones. Lots of people on the line. Jerry and Parker, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello. I was just wondering about that one person that called and seemed to say, are you there?
Yeah.
That she was,
that we should just go attack any country that couldn't prove they didn't have anything to do with 9-1-1. And you know how hard it is to prove a negative. So we could actually be attacking Britain or any other country in the whole world. And that seems to me what the basic philosophy of George Bush is, that, you know, the preemption thing means that if you have a reasonable suspicion, even an unreasonable suspicion.
Well, there wasn't a reasonable suspicion, and you can't even argue with that caller. I mean, we're the United States, and we have the right to be there. Thank you, Jerry. 303-382-1150. I thought it was like Ernestine, the operator, like Lily Tomlin. Louise in Denver, how you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I tell you, that woman that called that you've been imitating, it has to be a prank call. That's all I can say. But I would just like to say to Emilio.
Was imitating her.
Huh?
She didn't seem to realize I was imitating her.
I know. It just went right over her head, which tells you something. But anyway, Emilio, I have to be point blank with him. Are we safe because of Bush and Homeland Security, or are we safer because the terrorists just simply haven't tried it? And I think it's the latter, because look at Iraq. There are over 100,000 military. It's ringed by the military.
You know, I think actually keeping Bush in office might be a deterrent, because if they strike, if the terrorists strike, then it means it's 4 more years of him. I don't know. You know, there may be some actual backward value to this thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, these people that are so gung-ho on our security, look at Iraq. It's the most secure piece of real estate in the world, and look what happened yesterday and has been happening all along.
That's right. That's right. When the world is safer, is it safer? Howard Dean says it wasn't, and he was right. I thank you, Louise. 303-382-1150. Matt, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to comment. I think all of the current Republican Party can be summed up from what I heard on Sean Hannity's program the other day, where he actually suggested that because of Spain, if we suffer a terrorist attack in the days preceding,
we can't eat paella anymore. That's it. No more freedom fries. No more paella. We're going to have to leave it there. There's nothing left to eat. We're all going to have to eat Chinese now. I'm Enid Goldstein, which is really pretty good. That's one of my faves. One more hour of Enid coming up right here. We're going to be joined by John Dunning, his new book, The Bookman's Promise, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can join the conversation, 303-382-1150.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Sigenbuller. A deadly battle is raging along the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Pakistani forces say they've surrounded what may be the number 2 man in Al-Qaeda. NBC's Jim Maceda says Pakistan's president sounds optimistic.
Based on his military understanding, he is, after all, a former general, that this kind of fierce resistance would suggest to him the possibility of an HVT, of a high-value target, being protected by these people who were fighting to the death, it seems.
Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's lieutenant. Explosions at 2 hotels in Baghdad. No reports of any casualties. It's not clear what caused the blast. And if experts are right, we shouldn't feel a thing, but in about an hour, a small asteroid will make the closest approach to Earth ever recorded. It will come between 26,000 miles of Earth. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If it's not certified, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by March 31st, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
I love old homes and homes with character.
It's called a gable roof, I think it is.
Huge kitchen with an island in the middle.
I don't know the terms, I get lost in the process.
Tile closings.
Contingency clause.
What are they going to take? What am I going to offer?
Who does it? Who do I call? I have no idea.
If you're looking to buy a home, you need someone with expertise to help you. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
My realtor's my partner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 68 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Alaska Airlines, cleaning up an accident eastbound I-70 right at York. Watch for delays still continuing through there. Northbound I-25 at 84th, you will see a vehicle on fire. And a northbound 225 right at Parker, we have a stall in the right lane. That'll cause some problems. Pepsi Center still busy. Watch for a lot of foot traffic in and around there all day today. Alaska Airlines introduces Common Sense fares. Alaska's fares are now cheaper and have fewer restrictions, including no more Friday or Saturday night stay requirements on Alaska Airlines routes. Visit AlaskaAir.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, city planners say recent cuts have not been enough to avoid another budget deficit in 2005. Denver Finance Director Margaret Brown says the city faces about a $15 million deficit to start the 2005 fiscal year. Brown says the city's projected 05 budget of $731 million, a $13 million increase from 2004, will swamp the expected small rise in new revenue in 2005. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says the outcome could be less gloomy if Denver's economy bounces back. Hickenlooper says it's too early to start discussing more budget and program cuts until they see the full economic picture from 2004. This report being brought to you by Money Mailer. Where were you a year ago today? Well, if you were in Metro Denver, you were probably looking out the window watching the snow pile up. It was a year ago that we were right in the middle of the huge 2003 blizzard. What a difference a year makes. National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Koopmeiner says today's forecast is not to be confused with the weather of a year ago.
Mostly sunny here in the Denver metro area, and highs will be 65 to 70 degrees.
And Koopmeiner says tomorrow we could break a record with temperatures approaching the record high for tomorrow of 81 degrees. That was set in 1907. Boulder County residents may soon lose some ambulance service temporarily. County officials are considering dropping a private ambulance company that serves Boulder and replacing it with a city-run ambulance service. Pridemark Paramedics has been servicing most of Boulder County for the past 5 years. County officials, along with the firefighter and police unions, want to create a city-run or nonprofit ambulance organization to replace Pridemark. Pridemark says if it loses its contract with the county, it'll have to pull out altogether, leaving the county scrambling to find a temporary replacement until the new city-run ambulance service could be set up. Pridemark has a contract with the county through 2005, and officials believe that allows enough time for the city to find a suitable replacement. In sports, tonight is the only regular season meeting between the Colorado Avalanche and the Ottawa Senators, as the Avs continue their Canadian road trip. Avs have won 4 of their last 6 games. Denver Nuggets head to Detroit tomorrow after last night's 104-100 loss to the Celtics in Boston. March Madness underway at the Pepsi Center this week. Among today's 4 games, the Air Force Falcons playing the North Carolina Tar Heels tonight. Air Force guard A.J. Cool is asked if the Falcons, who defeated running teams like Utah and UNLV, can keep up with Carolina.
Throughout the year, I mean, we've played teams that have liked to run and push the ball, and we've always been able to control the game. So I think that that's somewhat to our advantage, that we have that discipline to be able to control a game. And, I mean, this is what this game is going to come down to.
North Carolina coach Roy Williams expects that the game will likely be played at the slow pace that Air Force likes, even though the Tar Heels would like to push the tempo. Look for Money Mailer's jumbo red, white, and blue envelope arriving this week in your mailbox. Money Mailer is packed with coupons and money-saving offers from businesses in your neighborhood. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What the devil is that gosling noise?
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
So yesterday, I was looking at houses online, and all of a sudden, bam, a pop-up window selling pizza took over my computer screen. I can't deal with pepperoni at a time like this. Not when I'm trying to find a house.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage reduces your house hunting anxiety with online resources that offer detailed information at the local level. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
It's time to get your Goodyear. Get to your local Goodyear retailer now through April 10th for the Goodyear Spring Driving Days Tire Sale. You'll find sale prices on some of the most popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, buy 4 selected Goodyear tires and get up to $75 free gas. Mail-in offer ends April 10th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to $75 free gas, don't miss a beat. Get your Goodyears today.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperatures today, more than 15 degrees above normal, and it's going to be even warmer tomorrow. Sunshine along with patchy clouds and a high around 71. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 43. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 78. And on Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds back into the low 70s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
68 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live, the Thursday edition. We will be joined in a little while by John Dunning. His new book, The Bookman's Promise. It's a Cliff Janeway novel, and I can't wait to talk to him. But the lines are full, and we're going to go. We're here. If you're just tuning in, here's what we're talking about. First of all, if you're just tuning in, you missed Penny Parker, and I want to thank her again. She did a wonderful, she was very nice mention of me in her column today. But what we're talking about, we had a couple of calls, one from Sandy, one from Emilio, talking. I was asking for people who are Bush supporters why you still are in the face of lying to Congress about what the Social Security prescription drug benefit is going to be. In the face of lying to the American public about weapons of mass destruction, which don't exist, and, you know, go down the line of all the lies, the huge deficits and so forth. How can you still support this guy? And people are just contorting themselves. In the face of logic, it doesn't matter. Logic is powerless in the face of passionate support for somebody. It doesn't matter about the logic. So you, those of you who heard the calls, you may want to comment. 303-382-1150. Diane, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. It's great to hear a fresh voice on the radio.
Thank you.
Hey, my comment is I don't believe that the Republicans are necessarily stupid or they're uneducated. I think that the American people in general tend to be very honest, and they want to believe that their leaders are honest as well. And you know, but I don't think that they go further than just reading the headlines. I think that if, for instance, you know, there was the State of the Union where Bush was against cloning and stem cell research, where in the back of the Rocky Mountain News today, if you dug through the paper, there was an article about stem cell research being funded in Sweden by the U.S. Pentagon. And, you know, they want to do the research, but they're not going to do it here in the United States. And I think that if we educate people and not be combative, that perhaps, you know, they might turn around and...
What would you have said to Emilio, and what would you have said to Sandy that would have made the slightest bit of difference?
Sandy, I think, was just completely out of town today. I don't know what she was rambling on about. But Emilio, I would say, you know, get some mainstream papers, you know, take a look at something other than Fox News, you know, and stop listening to Rush and people like that. And you know, just try to get a wider range of
But input. People, if you're in love with a candidate and that's it, you're not going to sell your pretty head about the facts. You're just going to,
well,
it's just going to confirm. You want confirmation of what your emotions tell you. So if you're in love with somebody, you're not going to look at the other side of it generally.
Well, generally, I think that there are people that are rabid, but I mean, there's people that are rabid on the left as well. But for instance, I have a very good friend that has a website. It's a conservative website. And when we were talking about the National Endowment for the Arts, and all he could rave about was, you know, these very controversial things. But when I tried to educate him about, you know, it's also funding for the symphonies, it's funding for, you know, traveling repertory companies and things like that, then it started to wake him up a little bit. And we got to a
yeah, but that's
ground.
All right. Well, listen, I like your view of it. I like your view that you can, with sufficient logic and the force of debate and great arguments, change people's minds. But a lot of people's minds, in case they actually exist, you cannot change. Diane, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Kevin in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, yeah, about a month ago, I amazingly enough heard finally heard the real reason for the war in Iraq, and it really blew me away because it is the last piece of the puzzle that puts all the other enigmas together and makes sense of them all. And that is back in October of 2000. Saddam Hussein went to the United Nations and asked them for permission to sell his oil in euros instead of American dollars.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And he was granted that permission.
All right, but tell me, Kevin, what is your point?
Well, that is such an important piece of information.
Because
our economy relies on that money coming in from every country in the world. France, they don't buy oil in francs. They have to come to America, buy American dollars to purchase their oil from the Saudis. And that purchasing of oil around the world is the single most important reason why our dollar can remain strong.
What does this have to do with anything?
That was the point where...
Our dollar is very weak against the euro. I was just in Europe, and I'm going again in July for a wedding. And I'm going to tell you that it started out 1 euro, $1, and now it's a dollar 20-something, I think, 25, 26. It was about a dollar 35 or so. Maybe it's getting a little bit better. But tell me succinctly, what is your point?
If other countries, if France decided that they were going to begin purchasing their oil in euros, and if Germany decided to purchase oil in euros...
It would weaken the dollar further.
Yeah.
And the deficits are doing that job exactly. Thank you, Kevin. 303-382-1150. Jill in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. First, let me mention how much I love your show and your viewpoint. You're welcome. A comment and then a question. The comment has to do with a caller a few callers ago who made a brief reference to the United States becoming almost fascist. And that's a very, very strong word, but the truth is that with Ashcroft and all of the incredible amounts of surveillance that are now somehow legal to perform on U.S. citizens, our 2004 is really like 1984.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I want to say something because they want to surveil us, but when we surveil them, like, we want to know who made up the Energy Commission that advised Dick Cheney. When we surveil them and we want to know who's paying for that plane where Ashcroft is going fishing and it costs $1,600 an hour to fly it, they don't like that too much.
No, in the meantime, they're checking our email and our library books and who knows, I mean, you know, and able to tap into things without warrants from judges. It's amazing.
This is why Americans really have to rise up in a body and get rid of this crowd, because I don't think we're going to have a country if we have four more years of these people. Jill, I really thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm going to put you on hold. Huh? Oh, Bob on a cell. Okay, sorry. Bob on a cell. Hi, Bob. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Just listened to your show. Great question you got about why Republicans are so in love with this administration and they can't figure out what's going wrong. I think it's called cognitive dissonance. It's kind of a psychologist term, but you know they've believed in the mantra for all these years, and all at once they're faced with facts that contradict their beliefs, and they're just startled. They don't know what to do. I mean, they just ramble on.
It's not even cognitive dissonance. You're giving it far too kind a title. It's stupidity. It is falling in love with somebody.
I was thinking that.
It's falling in love with, you know, it's like finding out that your beloved, somebody's telling you that person is a shoplifter, a junkie, and five other terrible, and cheats on you, and you don't want to hear it. So you think of all these ways to nullify anything that you, there's a word for it, which suddenly escapes me, but all these ways in which you're going to close down anything negative that's said about your beloved. So people have these little concoctions that they think stand up to scrutiny, which they don't, and there's no way you're going to shake them from their beliefs unless they want to be shaken from their beliefs. Bob, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. David in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, about the Liars Club, as I refer to it, if you read the book ratings, the most popular books, both New York Times and Local, in the Sunday Denver Post.
Yes.
There's been in second, third, fourth place a book titled An American Dynasty.
Kevin Phillips. I had Kevin Phillips on as my guest.
Okay.
And he talked about the deceit. The subtitle of the book is The Deceit in the House of Bush.
Four generations of it.
Four generations with close ties to the intelligence community. They all seem real aw shucks and real affable, but don't kid yourself.
Well, I have a quick little story about liars. If it take a minute or two.
No, we don't have the time.
Okay, fine.
You tell it to me in a couple of seconds?
Well, real quick, I was going to a 40-plus, if you know what 40-plus is, a group up in Fort Collins once a week. We had a gal join, had just come from Washington, D.C. Her just ex-husband was with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and month in, month out, when they do the unemployment numbers and send them up the chain, they'd come back and say, these are wrong, redo them.
Well, that's what they did with Congress. They wouldn't even give Congress the numbers.
Well,
the guy, the chief actuary, when it came to the Medicare drug reform, the prescription drug benefit, and the Medicare reform, the chief actuary was threatened with losing his job if he answered Congress's questions honestly about what it would really cost.
Well, what Clinton did to Monica Bush is doing to the whole country.
No kidding. Oh, very well said, David. Thank you. 303-382-1150. Robert, calling from Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Robert.
You owe me an apology.
Why?
Well, you should say I'm right. I told you many times over that these people, they're in a cult. They're whacked out of their minds. No matter what you say, no matter what proof you put in front of them, they're going to deny it. It's a cult.
A cult. You might be right about that.
I am right.
Okay. I owe you an apology, Robert, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. We're going to be joined by John Dunning, the book, The Bookman's Promise, a Cliff Janeway novel. He'll be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack Demesterton, Ezzie Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
If you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, stop by McDonald Automotive Group today, located on Broadway just north of Arapahoe Road. McDonald Automotive, the region's largest selection of certified pre-owned imports.
Brenda Francis here to remind you that Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits focuses on bringing you undervalued, unusual, and even collectible bottles of wine. I taste many bottles of wine each week, sometimes with the winemakers themselves. They tell their stories, express their passion, and describe what makes their wine so special. I am as close to the source as you can get without leaving Denver. It is my goal to bring you the finest at the best prices, and I do this by tasting current vintages. Sounds like a tough job, doesn't it? Every Thursday, I send out an email newsletter with details about feature and sale wines. Every Friday, I write about wine in the Denver Daily News. My passion is to share my experiences with you. Whether you're looking for a bottle for tonight's dinner, or you're looking to expand your collection of 2,000 Bordeaux, we strive to bring you the best for the least. Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, southwest corner of 12th and Broadway, in the old Metropolitan Antiques building. Sign up for our email newsletter at goldentrianglewines.com. Give us a call at 303-893-8437.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC. The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
If you wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a genie in a bottle. Gotta rub me the right way.
That's just bad. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. Listen beginning March 22nd for daily commentaries from newsmakers and commentators like State Senator John Andrews, Representative Andrew Romanoff, Senator Mark Hillman, and former Governor Dick Land, mornings, middays, and afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you hear both sides talk.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:21 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I'm delighted joining us in this segment, John Dunning, local boy makes good. His new book, The Bookman's Promise, a Cliff Janeway novel.
I'm far from a boy, though.
Well, you're not. And he's going to be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. Is that right?
That's what I hear, yeah.
And, all right, tell us about the book, because it has taken, this is a Cliff Janeway novel, and did I read where it's taken you about 10 years to do the next?
Actually, it didn't take 10 years to do it. It's just that I was doing other things in those 10 years. I had, I was doing the big Oxford book on old time radio, which I published, and then I was doing the novel 2 o'clock Eastern Wartime, which is about old time radio. And so, you know, I haven't really been that slow, but it seems like I have.
And before you know it, 10 years pass.
10 years pass.
I should know this about you, but you must be a radio junkie then to have done this much work about radio. Did you tell me this when we met at the press club?
Yeah.
You were my guest, but
yeah.
I guess I have no mind to speak of, huh?
I was a radio junkie because I grew up with it. It was part of my life. You know, I used to sit there and look at the radio. I mean, before there was television.
And you could actually see pictures on that radio sometimes.
Pictures. And as Stan Freeberg says, the pictures were better.
Because they were the imagination.
Right. You got it.
And now we're treated to the spectacle of Janet Jackson speaking to her nipple shield. Or was it Justin Timberlake speaking to her? And then having it answer back.
That's right. That's right.
And you also had a bookstore, the Old Algonquin Bookstore.
Yep. And it was just about where Janeway's bookstore is in the story.
Tell me about, for people who are new to the Cliff Janeway books, tell me about Cliff Janeway and the Bookman's Promise.
Janeway is a homicide cop who gets drummed off the Denver Police Department because of altercation with a brutal suspect. And because he's always been a book collector, he winds up opening a bookstore. I know. It's still...
Are there any real cops who are book collectors? Very many?
Yeah.
Are there?
Well...
Do they read?
I don't know how many.
Or they shoot first.
I don't know how many there are that actually collect books, but there were some, and they came in our store. They never collected the right stuff, but they were book collectors.
They were collectors.
Sure.
Did they actually read? Because the P.D. James character, Dalgleish, is a poet, I think, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he's a poet in the series, in her series.
Uh-huh.
So Inspector Dalgleish, a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Cliff Janeway, drummed out of the police force. And do we know which police force that was?
Denver.
Denver Police Force. And he opens up a bookstore, which is something you also did.
He opens up a bookstore. I was never a cop, but I was a reporter for the Post.
Right.
And that's just as infamous and nefarious. You know.
And what was your beat when you were in the Post?
I did all kinds of stuff. I did do some police beat. I sat in the old police station at night, and I went around. I drove around with the cops. I spent a whole week driving around with the cops. I went to homicide scenes, wrote a lot of police stories, and did some other things, too. I had a wide-ranging, a short, happy life, as Ernest Hemingway would say, in the book, in the police.
Why did you leave the Post?
You don't really want to know that.
Right. How many years ago was it?
I'll tell you if you want to know.
Yeah, I do want to know.
It was a long time ago. I'll answer the easy question first. I left the Post in 1970 because I left the Post in 1970, and then because I wanted to write a book. That's the answer. But there's another answer.
Right.
And then I was gone for 3.5 years, didn't sell a book, didn't do much, and we had to do something else. So I came back to the Post again, and I was their investigative reporter for a year and then learned all the reasons why I quit the first time.
And quit a second time. And were you able to write novels while you were working at the Post the second time?
It was pretty hard because my time to write books was always 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30. I would set my clock and get up. And I remember a plane was hijacked one time, and the city editor called me at 4 o'clock and said, you know, get out to the airport. And you don't tell him, I can't. I've got to write. This is my writing time. You know? So you get out to the airport. We were on deadline all day that day. That was a fun day. I mean, your blood gets churning, you know, and back in those days we had 5 editions. They had that, remember that blood red edition they had at the end of the day?
I know, because I'm too new to Denver.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a blood red edition?
It had those awful red headlines on the final edition.
Oh, I think that sounds so exciting.
I think Harry Tamman, in fact, I think he's the one that instilled that in the Post. Bill Hasakawa could tell you that because he's the historian for that newspaper.
I always like the Bulldog editions. That's the one I like a lot because then you can find out what's going on for the next day and then go to sleep easily.
The Post was an evening newspaper then. The News was a morning newspaper. And we had some real competition in those days. And we didn't have any joint operating agreements. You can see I'm
really...
Yeah,
a lot of
really,
joints, but no joint operating agreements.
The biggest joint was the Denver Press Club.
Oh, as we know.
Well, yeah.
So talk to me now. So here we have this Cliff... How many in the Cliff Janeway series?
Well, there's only three.
So this is the third.
Yeah.
And it's beginning...
There's actually four. There's another one that I've finished that's coming next year.
All right, but that's all done. But this is the third one in print.
Right.
And the Bookman's Promise. So he has been drummed off the police department in Denver.
In Book to Die.
In Book to Die.
That was the first one.
Okay. Yeah. And in the second one, give us a little synopsis of what happens to bring us to the present in
the second one was called The Bookman's Wake, and that took my character Janeway to Seattle. And he was looking at a small private press, much like the Grabhorn Press, of fine press books. And these two guys were kind of legendary, to use a term I hate. And so that's what that was about. It rained the whole time he was in Seattle. As people who come from Seattle will tell you that it does often, you know. It's a very atmospheric book.
And now in the third book, The Bookman's Promise.
Well, this is also a book about historical premise. It goes into the life of Richard Burton, Richard Francis Burton,
the explorer,
the great explorer of the 1900s. And you know, Burton was not only an explorer, but he was an amazing linguist. He self-taught himself 29 languages. He could learn a language in a month. He could learn it well enough that he could color his skin and go among the natives and pass as one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's how he went to Mecca and Medina. He went disguised as an Arab, was able to flawlessly speak the language. He was an amazing guy.
And so what happens to Cliff Janeway? Why is he interested in Richard Burton?
Well, because Burton...
Not
the actor. He has nothing to do with Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, he might have if he had lived at that time. He could
have learned the language of love. Mm-hmm, the language of love.
Yes.
Burton was also an author. He wrote and published 30 books. He translated the Arabian Nights in 16 volumes. He translated the Kama Sutra and other forbidden sexual books at that time. Because of that, he became widely known as a pornographer and a rake. But his reputation was greatly in disrepute until Fawn Brody wrote her great biography in 1967. And when
did he die? When had Burton
died around 1890.
So she rehabbed his reputation?
Yeah, and now there have been several biographies done since then.
But how does Cliff Janeway get involved in this? Does one of his books come up?
Yeah, a whole bunch of his books. There was a great passage in a biography by Edward Rice, who came after Brody, and he said that there were 2 to 3 months in Burton's life that were unaccounted for. Almost everything else was known about him on a daily basis, but for these 2 or 3 months he dropped completely out of sight, and he was traveling in the United States at that time. And he was well known to go on spying missions for his country. And this premise was perhaps he had done that here. Lord Palmerston, who was the British Prime Minister, was known to hate the United States. He would have been the Secretary of War in the War of 1812, and we know how that turned out. And so the idea was that perhaps he had sent Burton here to spy on this country. And Janeway gets into it because this library of Burtoniana disappears off the face of the earth. And it's a very, as somebody said this morning, it's a very cold case.
I think this is so, I love the premise here. And I want to talk to you about the bookstore that it is no longer open, the old Algonquin bookstore.
No, it's now a snake store.
They selling snakes there? Are they literate? Are these snakes literate, or are they running for office? What's the story here?
These are exotic pets.
I love books, and I have many books, more books than I probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like the woman who has 6,000 pets crammed into, you know, a small space. That's
right.
What it is with books.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it. I'm looking for, doctor, could you give me some advice here?
I don't know. Do you want to sell them?
Oh, I don't know about selling them. I really should go through them is what I should do. And I have wonderful inscriptions. And I was persuaded, because since you were an antiquarian, would that be the right way to
antiquarian describe? In many ways.
Antiquarian bookseller.
Oh.
I got a while back, a friend talked me into getting a copy. It was a signed and numbered edition of Portnoy's Complaint that Philip Roth had done. And I just looked on eBay, I mean, all these years later. And I look on eBay, and what cost only, I don't know, maybe $15 or $25, I see it on eBay for $600 or $700 or $800.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing a story on Allen Ginsberg a long time ago in Time Magazine talking about some of his early work and these first editions.
Right.
And I was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the time. So I immediately went to the bookstore and found some early editions of his, used early editions of some of his poetry. And they once had a somebody who would come in and assess what your, you know, if you had some books. It was part of a fundraising thing. So I took that with me, those little paperbacks. They're really tiny. And it turns out that they're worth a little bit. Not a huge amount. I don't know, not a huge amount. But I paid maybe a few cents for them, and maybe they're worth $100 or something.
Well,
maybe they're even worth more than that now. It was quite a while ago. And so I always think about first editions that way. There's something about books that I love. And sometimes I feel that I get their contents by osmosis without actually having to go through the muss and fuss of
reading them.
But I have reviewed books for the San Francisco Chronicle and other papers, and I started out life as a writer, so I have a great affinity for books and for writers, but I just have way more books than I can ever probably read in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. A bookseller would love to get into your stuff if you were going to sell it. If you don't want to sell it, there's not much anybody can do for you. You're hopeless.
What do you do? You must have been a book junkie, too, or you wouldn't have opened a store.
It's a funny thing. When you work
and
at
how
a bookstore,
did you deal with it?
Well, you just, once you start selling them, and then after a year or so of people bringing in things off the street, you wind up, you have more good books than you've ever had in your life, even though, you know, you sell something, you get something better later on.
Can you bear to say goodbye to some of these good
sure.
books that have been first editions, people buy them?
Sure, you know why? Because there's another one out there you can buy somewhere if you want to. But getting back to what you said, I sold two copies of The Grapes of Wrath for $450 each.
First editions?
First editions.
They are worth a fortune, those books.
Now they are, yeah. But, you know, at that time they were worth about $400.
What are they worth now?
I bought one at the New York Book Fair, and I took a deep breath and paid $5,000 for it. And it's probably worth twice that.
Oh,
now.
I think it's worth way more than that.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, it's going up all the time. And a good book collection, which is one of the things I would say to you, don't sell it short. Be very careful about
what, for people listening out there who love books, and or even if they don't love it, maybe they love to collect. What should they be looking for? And why is The Grapes of Wrath worth so much money in first edition, and that you want to have the jacket to it and all that, but why is it worth that much? Is it because it's such a it had such a powerful literary impact?
Yeah,
is that it in the American canon?
It's by almost everybody's choice one of the cornerstone books of the last century, and you know, it was made into a great film.
Mm-hmm.
That always helps. And you know, because of all those things, and now what we're seeing is that the supply is dwindling. When it was first published, there were a lot of them, and that's why. And even 15 years ago, when I sold my two that I had, there were a lot of them still around. And now the numbers of really good copies are dwindling. And when you say the jacket needs to be there, the jacket needs to not only be there, but it needs to be fresh, intact. And fine, a chip in the jacket of The Grapes of Wrath, the size of my thumbnail, would knock the value of that book by 2/3.
Really?
Oh yeah.
By 2/3.
Oh sure. Well,
and what if the jacket was simply not there?
And then,
a book that let's say it would be worth $5,000, as you said, or you know, and it's worth more than that now. And you don't have the jacket, but you have the book without the jacket. First edition, Grapes of Wrath. What would it be worth?
I don't know, $100, $150 maybe.
That's it. Why is the jacket so important?
Because it has been described as the soul of the book. It's the most colorful part, it's the most fragile part, and it's the part that's most often torn, coffee-stained, ripped asunder, and missing. Those are the things that happen to it.
So if there's a coffee stain, if there's a chip the size of your thumb, you've lost quite a bit of value
on that
first edition. What are some other books that we should be looking at besides Grapes of Wrath? If you're looking in your storeroom, if you inherited a library, grandpa, grandma's books that you didn't pay even a second thought to.
Any of the books that you consider the blue chips today, all the Hemingways, the Fitzgeralds, you're not going to find those in grandma's books, though. You know,
Grandma might have been literary.
If grandma was literary, you are really lucky, because her books have appreciated since her lifetime far, far more than you can ever imagine. If she was literary, you've come into
to those. I found a Hemingway short story, first edition. I don't think there's a jacket to it. I think I paid 50 or 75 cents for it in a thrift shop. Does it have any value?
Sure.
It was printed on stock for the war years, so there's some disclaimer there that this is in compliance with the War Office, blah, blah.
It's probably not a first.
It probably isn't a first?
No. It would have been published by Charles Scribner's Sons, and they at that time had a little symbol of the initial A on their copyright pages. You have to have an ability, or you have to have a book that tells you how first editions were identified by various publishers over the years.
My guest is John Dunney, a man who loves books and writes them and sold them. The book is called The Bookman's Promise. It's a Cliff Janeway novel. It's getting fabulous reviews, and you can meet him tonight. Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 69 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Quest Choice Business. And we do got some heavy traffic, of course, around the Pepsi Center. Of course, the NCAA tourney is going on, so watch for that. If you see some smoke out east, don't worry about it. That's just smoke coming up from the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, a controlled burn. All our other accidents are up and out of the way, so some good news for you. Quest Choice Business, your business line plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. A simple, flexible, affordable, that's the spirit of service in action. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Washington is confirming what many of us already know. The federal government says Colorado ranks second in the number of jobs lost since March of 2001. State has lost more than 115,000 jobs since the recession started. This report brought to you by Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. 44 soldiers from Fort Carson have now died in Iraq. The latest fatality is First Lieutenant Michael Adams, who was killed yesterday when his tank was hit by another vehicle. The crash reportedly caused a weapon to hit Adams from behind. Besides bringing some great basketball to Denver, the NCAA tournament going on this week at the Pepsi Center is expected to pump between $7 and $15 million into the city's economy. The Metro Denver Convention and Visitors Bureau expects that we'll see a residual effect, too, with return visitors and people coming here after seeing the city during TV coverage of the games. Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil is specially formulated to clean and protect engines driven over 75,000 miles. Add more life to your car with Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
Want to hit the fan while you are hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jenny Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Chris Alice, sounds romantic. It's the latest in lens treatments. Your plastic lenses will not scratch and are glare-proof. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. For night driving, computers, movie theaters, and more, ask for Chris Alice. The difference is bright lights and blur or clarity. You choose. When trusting International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University Machine Orchard, you will always find the latest in lens technology and one of the largest selections of eyewear in Denver. We are so excited to be celebrating our 9th anniversary. Call to set your annual eye exam with Dr. Sogel Kelly and select that perfect new frame and lenses. Reach for any of our star frames and pay $44 when you purchase prescription lenses. And don't forget to ask for Crizal Alizé. Seeing is a wonderful gift. It's time to see International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard to help select a fabulous frame and new lenses. See you soon.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperatures today, more than 15 degrees above normal, and it's going to be even warmer tomorrow. Sunshine along with patchy clouds and a high around 71. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 43. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 78. And on Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds back into the low 70s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 69 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. A volatile day on Wall Street, especially after word that a top Al-Qaeda leader may be surrounded. The Dow closed down nearly 5 points at 10,296, but well off its lows of the day. The Nasdaq dropped 14 points to 1962. Investors were not impressed with the government report that new jobless claims fell last week to the lowest level in more than 3 years. Analysts had expected a slight increase. Also falling again last week, mortgage rates. Microsoft has failed to reach a deal with the European Union that sets the stage for a landmark antitrust ruling next week that will find the software giant guilty of monopolistic behavior and fine it hundreds of millions of dollars. And finally, what's the cost to defend a corporate executive against fraud charges? In the case of former Enron chief Jeff Skilling, $23 million. That at least is what he paid attorneys before the government froze $66 million of his assets. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day, no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
The Pepsi Center is tied at the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. We are tied at 42 between the Syracuse Orangemen and BYU Cougars. BYU came out smoking. They were up by as much as 11, but Syracuse has come back to tie the game, mostly by one man, sophomore Jerry McNamara. He has 28 of Syracuse's 42 points at 67% if you do the math. Right now we're at halftime in game two of a four-game day here at the Pepsi Center. Syracuse and BYU tied up at 42. From the Pepsi Center at the NCAA tournament, I'm Tony Desiri, KNRC Sports.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN.
Guess what? We've got them both.
AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:46 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me live in the studio, Denver's own John Dunning, award-winning author of Book to Die. His new book, The Bookman's Promise, it's the third in the Cliff Janeway series. It's been getting wonderful reviews, and he will be at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, tonight at 7:30. And we've been talking books because in his checkered past, which includes not graduating from high school and 50 other things, but he still managed to be a wonderful reporter and a terrific writer, he had the, Old Algonquin Bookstore, is that what it was called?
Right.
And I love to talk books, and particularly I have this dream, I guess, of going to the thrift shop. I love this story. I heard about it. It wasn't about a book. But somebody was in a thrift shop in the Bay Area, and this was very recent. It was a news story. And they bought a Jackson Pollock-like painting for $5 to give to a friend, and it turned out to be a real Jackson Pollock. So this $5, you know, dribbles of paint really wound up being worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I guess I love books, but the idea of finding something in a thrift shop that winds up being a good first edition. Talk to me about that. You were saying that The Catcher in the Rye, if you had a first edition of that, is very valuable.
$20,000
if it's
a really good one. And if the jacket is a First State jacket.
Why does it have to be a first edition?
Well, because that's the one that people want to collect. It's the one that's the first one that's issued.
And it doesn't say first edition on it, usually. It just doesn't say anything.
Some of them do. Some publishers do, some don't. Most of them now have a chain of numbers, like you'll see on that book. On the copyright page, you'll see a...
Right, I'm looking right now. And the Bookman's Promise by guess who? John Dunning.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so it's a Scribner book. Wonderful House. You're with a Wonderful House. Okay.
House of Hemingway.
Yes.
You can see on that book the chain of numbers there.
It says manufactured in the United States of America, and it says 13579108642. What means that?
What it means is that if the one is present, it's first edition. When they do a second printing, which they've done now, then they take the one off, and it starts with two.
Why don't they do it in order, though? Why do they do it in a funny out of order?
Sometimes they do that, too. But the key is...
Oh, I never knew that.
Is the one there. And if the one is there... Now, Random House, for years, they said first edition and started with two. And then when they went to the second printing, they just took the words first edition off. And if it starts with two without saying first edition, it's a second printing.
It's a second printing. Okay. So collectors want first editions.
Yeah.
Give us a sense, in case we are going to be little rabbits and go to the thrift stores or the flea markets or the library book sales, which probably they would be more astute at the library book sales and they wouldn't realize. Oh, all right, let me ask you a question. I bought for a quarter Tales of the South Pacific, James Michener, but in paperback, like a paperback that looks really lurid from the 40s, I would guess. Mm-hmm. Does it have any value?
It might have.
Because it's got a lurid cover, it wasn't the hardback.
It might have been the first edition, first paperback edition. I don't know.
I'll have to look and see.
But the fact is it was published first in hardcover. The ones that you want to look for in paperback are the ones that were paperback originals, like John D. McDonald's books, writers that published in paper, Jim Thompson's books. Those can be very valuable.
Oh, they can. Well, and Allen Ginsberg, who I studied with ultimately here in Boulder, his early books were in paperback. They were just little chap books.
They're very hard to get and very expensive.
They are?
Yeah.
I have two copies of, what's it called, The Empty Mirror? It's something mirror. It's just two little things, and I don't know if they're first, if there was anything more than a first edition those. I think I paid 75 cents a piece for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a bargain.
Did I?
Well, I'm sure you did.
What are things people should look for besides Catcher in the Rye, some of these lurid old paperbacks? Will it say first edition on a paperback?
It might, yeah. It might. It might not, you know.
What's the book to get to find out about? You said there are some good books around that tell us.
All right. There is one book that is essential, and I don't have it with me, of course, but it's published by Bill McBride. And it's a little paperback book, costs $12.95, and it's called, let's see if I can, it's a long title, Guide to the Identification of First Editions, something like that.
And can you buy this in Tattered Cover or someplace?
Yeah, the Tattered Cover might sell it. I think the Denver Book Mall has it. I think you can look on Abe Books and just type in Bill McBride, and it'll show you what the actual correct title is and what it costs. But it goes... publisher by publisher, and he's got hundreds of publishers in it, and it'll tell you for instance, Putnam, up through a certain date. NAP means no additional printings. So if you have a trade edition, which means not a book club, and you have...
Why are the book club ones not considered worthwhile? If it's a book club edition, is it no value at
they're,
all?
They're like firewood.
So even if it's a book club edition of an early Ernest Hemingway around the same time that Ernest Hemingway or John Steinbeck, does it have zero value or some historical value?
You didn't see book club editions that early, that much. You did occasionally, like there was a book club edition of Out of Africa, and the only difference is the shading on the top edge of the pages. They use the same sheets, so no, it
doesn't have any value.
It does have value. It doesn't have a fall off in value as much as say the book clubs of today. They are printed on the thinnest paper you'll ever see in public, as somebody once said.
Oh really?
They are not even sewn. They have no cloth binding. They're bound in plastic.
So it's a cheesy binding, a cheesy quality
cheesy
of
binding.
Material. Or what about? I have a Salinger. I want to say Pierre, but Catcher in the Rye. What was his
J.D.
Salinger, mm-hmm. Franny and Zoe. And I don't think maybe it is a book club edition, but it may not be. But it's a little bit grungy on the cover. Has that got some value, Franny and Zoe?
If it's not a book club edition, if it's a first edition, I think that particular book had several states of first edition. When you talk about states, you're talking about a thing that where the book was changed at some point within the first edition. So you want to get the earliest state you can get. So, yeah, it would have some, but if the grungier it is, the less value it has.
I think somebody penciled around on it, or some kid did on the jacket, but it's a little bit grungy, but it's still, so it might have some value. Check
and
see.
A pencil could be erased, but if it's a crayon, you were playing with crayons recently.
Oh, no, I'm usually playing with fire. John Dunning, author of The Bookman's Promise, a Cliff Janeway novel, who will be appearing tonight at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek. So what words do you have if people are thinking about? You know, this is a time when I don't know if we're reading so much. Well, we are, but there's a lot of junk out there.
Get McBride's and don't expect to learn all this stuff at once.
I'll get McBride's. But what about new books that are out there? Is it worth getting? How do you know? You don't know who's going to be somebody
you
that
don't know.
Is going to be a first,
you don't know.
Be a valuable writer 20, 30 years
even
from now.
Not even 20 or 30 years from now. Cold Mountain was selling for $200 within weeks of publication.
Why? You could still buy the first edition at that point.
That's what you had to buy is the first edition, but it was already in a 7th, 8th, 9th printing. And the first editions were already gone. You could go down to the Tattered Cover and look for them, and I did, and I found a couple of them.
And you bought them?
And I bought them, and they went up to $200, and then all those firsts came flooding into the market. See, people started raising the ante on it before they realized what the supply was going to be on it. There was a lot of them.
So then it wasn't worth a couple. Then that book was not worth a couple, not bringing in a couple hundred bucks a book.
No.
You spent, what, 25 or 30 bucks
you
for?
You spent $20, $25. You can sell it now for maybe $100. That's still a pretty good deal, you know.
Well, roughly three times what you paid for it. Or $75 profit, that
right.
is to say. Four times what you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
What words do you want to leave us with, John Dunning?
I don't know.
You've devoted your life to
take
writing.
Take care of your books. Don't take care of the jackets. Don't throw them away. Put the jackets in plastic wrapping so that they don't get chipped.
You can buy those in library supply stores and stuff?
You can buy them in, places like that. And if you start collecting books, you will want to get them from Gaylord, the people who make them.
Libraries.
And you can just call the toll-free number, and they'll put them on your MasterCard, and you'll get 100 of them in the mail. And you'll use them up fast, believe me. I mean, you could probably use about 10,000 of them, right?
I hope I can't use that many of them, because there's not going to be room for me where I live. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is always a pleasure. John Dunning, the new book, The Bookman's Promise, a Cliff Janeway novel. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek at 7:30. And if you do, you're going to have a wonderful evening. John Dunning, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find out what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Tonight, only on TV Guide Channel.
This is a consumer alert.
To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer's supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chevrolet products. Acres and acres of Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Impalas, and the all-new Colorado pickups are on sale at liquidation prices. Discounts are as high as $13,000 on select vehicles. During this event, profit is not a major consideration. This incredible sale is at two and only two locations, the MedVet Autoplex in Wheatridge and the MedVet Autoplex in Castle Rock. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The massive MedVet markdown sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:58 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I don't think we have time to take a call. I'm so sorry about that. We're out of time. Go. You know what he told me? John Dunning told me that one of his early books is selling for $1,000, first edition. So collect him. Go meet him tonight. You're going to have a great time. Tonight is closing night of the Jewish Film Festival. You can go. It's at the Jewish Community Center. The film is My Architect. It was nominated for an Academy Award. The director will be there in person, or the producer, Susan Bear, 7 o'clock tonight, $25. Thank you, Todd. You did a great job in Joe's stead producing the show. Thank you, Todd Hassel, and thank you, Jordan Lyles, for keeping us on the air. And thanks to all of you who called and listened. It was really lively today. Let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Enid Goldstein. Doug Kellett, up next, do something generous, will you?
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Siegenthaler. Pakistani forces may have cornered Osama bin Laden's second-in-command near Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. There is fierce fighting in the region, and officials believe the al-Qaeda forces may be protecting a high-value target. From the Pentagon, NBC's Bob Kerr says this follows action taken by Pakistan's military forces over the past few days.
The Pakistanis stepped up their operations, obviously, on their side of the border in recent days, going from village to village, trying to get people to turn on al-Qaeda officials who may be in their midst.
In other news, the man suspected of being Ohio's highway sniper plans to waive extradition in a Nevada court hearing tomorrow. The lawyer for Charles McCoy Jr. says he wants his client back in Columbus as soon as possible. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 4.5 points. The S&P lost nearly 2. NASDAQ fell 14 points. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private